The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk. Get you drunk off my lady hump. My hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
And we start now. Right here at Gillette Stadium for another PFW in Progress without Fred Kirsch, which is always a bummer. But we have guests, Andy. We have guests today.
We do.
We do.
Live
Matt,
in
Matt
studio.
Matt and Tammy from Indiana.
Somebody that Fred can ask if they're hung.
See? You see? You see why I don't like to host? It takes them.
I would have said that whether I was hosting, you were hosting.
I would have called it a new record, but I think we got on the air late today, so it's not really a new record. But we are gracious enough to host a couple of loyal listeners, and we're going to buy us lunch. That's why we're being so nice to them. So tell us why, Matt, you're here. Not for the Patriots game. More important reason. Why?
Here for the half marathon in Falmouth on Saturday.
I'm surrounded by these dedicated runners and these folks that like to be in shape. Yeah, it's not working
Maybe
out.
It's God
sending you a sign. Because
both
Matt and Tammy, we should add, are going to run the race as well.
What's the weather? A little chilly out today.
It wasn't too bad. If you get out of the wind, it's all right.
Yeah, I think in Falmouth you'll have wind to deal with.
usually down the Cape, the wind doesn't subside.
And if it's the same course, I don't know if it is, but I know like the Falmouth road race in the summer is right along the water, certain stretches of it. And
yeah, it goes right along the water. It looked like it went out by the lighthouse that was out there. And then
you're going to be dealing with wind. Good luck with that.
Thanks.
May the wind always be at your back.
But you will not be going to the game over the weekend?
No, we will be.
Oh, you will be. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what I thought.
Assuming
what
they
said.
Can still walk at that point.
We'll be able to walk.
Yeah. What's your running career?
It's not me. I'm not running it.
Like, I mean, do you do a lot of half marathons, marathons? What?
We are in the process of trying to run 25 half marathons in 25 different states.
Whoa.
This will be 16.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
She got me. I'm the one talking, but she's the one that got me started running.
Why not run 12 marathons, full marathons in 12 states?
Says the guy who's never run more than 10 feet.
Playing off of the half marathon in 25 states, idiot.
As you were saying, I couldn't get through the training.
It's really?
Yeah.
Wow. See, I just figured
I'm not that dedicated.
Well, I just figured I was a load, and that's why I couldn't get
So through. Is this a nonstop endeavor? You've been running, you've done 12 already, whatever you said. Has this been going on for how long?
We started in 2006.
2006, yeah. Wow. 7 years. And you're halfway there.
Yes.
So this is going to be a 14-year endeavor. That's a lot of running.
Yeah, that puts me over 50.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You get into a different age bracket, right? It makes you look better.
What's been your favorite so far?
Hawaii.
Hawaii. Okay.
All right. How about your favorite not in Hawaii?
Yeah.
That's not really fair.
We did Alaska last year.
Oh.
Was it last year or 2 years ago? We did one in Nevada, in Rachel, Nevada, outside of Las Vegas. It was running in early August, which you would think would be really hot, but they started at midnight.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, it was really cool.
Huh. Now, have you had any really bad ones, really cold or wet or really crappy ones?
No.
Falmouth.
Yeah.
Actually, we've been really lucky. We haven't had any rain or anything.
And what is the, where did this come from?
I've been running since high school. I was able to run the Boston Marathon in 2000, so okay. I could feel you when you were saying things earlier, but yeah, and I just sort of talked him into it.
Were you a runner?
No. I played tennis and golf in high school. I stayed as far.
So she really talked you into it. It wasn't like she...
Yes.
That's cool, though. That's
yeah, it's something
you get
fun
to travel around and gives you a reason to go places.
And, and that's what it's become, is right. Taking vacations together and destinations.
That's very cool. Paul, you should do it.
Yeah. No, I've never even thought about it. Anyway, the game, what are you guys looking forward to on Sunday in terms of the Patriots and Dolphins?
Hopefully a win.
Yeah.
Now, is this your
there was a hopefully
first game,
in there.
First time
second.
Here? Second game?
Yeah, second.
We were at the Packers game 2 years ago, which okay. Whenever Matt Flynn played for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Dan Conley had the long kickoff return.
Yes.
Yeah.
I always look forward to being with Patriot fans. Living in Indiana, an hour from Indianapolis. I like
it's
being
Colts
around,
country.
Yeah, just being around all the Patriot fans and giving them high fives when there's a score and just feeling like, you know, you're with your
it,
people.
Not
yeah.
an outsider in the wrong land.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's a good little weekend then. Nice yeah. little run down the Cape. Hopefully it is nice. I mean, I think it's supposed to be sunny and clear. I just, the wind would be my only concern
yeah.
for you guys.
It's my concern too.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's at your back, as I said, at least part of the time.
May the wind be at your back.
Right. And may the Patriots win.
Before we move on,
I don't feel
to
as confident in that as I used to. It seemed like previous years you're like, they'll
win, don't
worry.
That's what I was getting at. And then yesterday, the person that said that Fred wasn't convincing him that everything was going to be fine. You know, like
there's doubt.
To be a little trepidation
here. Oh yeah.
But I wanted to get before we move on to some of the stuff, and you can get involved in our show as usual. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address. Webradio@patriots.com. You can also give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. And, Andy, if you are in the Ukraine, you can give us a call.
You want the Ukraine one today. That is 0800-502749.
So make sure that you give us a ring on that very catchy number. But before I move on to some of that, I wanted to get Patriots fan. Fred likes to ask our visitors,
if they're hung.
Why?
It's always on his mind.
Why? It is. It's amazing. Why, though? Why the Patriots? What attracted you to become Patriots fans, other than Week 3 of 2001,
actually,
when Tom Brady became the quarterback?
Long before that.
Okay.
In third grade, my best friend was a Patriots fan, became a Patriots fan because the Patriots drafted Vegas Ferguson, who is from Richmond, Indiana, which is 20 minutes away.
Vegas Ferguson spoke at my Pop Warner banquet when I was 12.
Cool.
Good guy.
Good Vegas Ferguson talk here.
Good Vegas Ferguson talk.
So you are born and bred Indiana, always?
Yes.
Okay. And you've always been a Patriots fan?
Since third grade.
Yeah, I mean, that's much always.
At that time, it was either them or the Bengals, so.
That's true, too. Whew. Colts weren't even there.
That's slim pickings. Well, the Bengals weren't bad back in the
early 80s.
Well, 82 and 88, they
gave
everybody a thrill, but that's about it.
Well, that's tough. That's tough. But I commend you because how many times do we get this story as well? The first time I saw Tom Brady play, right. I knew he was going to be great. And I'm like, oh, really? So you go way back then, huh?
Yeah.
So you guys are actually, and Tammy, I assume he just dragged you along for the ride?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. In high school, she didn't like football, so once we got married, then she...
I love it now.
And you guys knew each other in high school or no?
Yes.
You did.
High school sweethearts?
Yes.
Oh, very cool.
This is sweet. Do you have any music for this, Kevin?
Now they run together. They go in long romantic
now they
runs
go on
together.
Long runs down
Do
the
you?
Cape.
Do you run together?
It's like the Pina Colada song.
Well, we start out together.
And then she pulls away?
Yes.
I assumed because she's the runner. Yeah. But what about training? Do you stick together for training or?
Not
He's
usually.
He's getting faster.
Yeah.
Well, then I give you a lot of credit because she's a runner, obviously, and she talked you into this.
Mm-hmm.
To do it on your own sometimes or a lot of times, I give you a lot of credit for that.
Thank you.
That's very cool.
So you got Andy's stamp of approval, which
no,
is
No, but
nice.
I mean,
that means a
it'd
lot.
Be one thing if you stayed with her the whole time. Okay, so it's a group activity you guys do together, but to get talked into running 25 half marathons and training for it and not even having her with you the whole time, there's some dedication there.
Yeah, it's something that's fun to do, though.
You like it now, though, like even if you weren't a runner.
I wouldn't say I like it.
Like not the word.
Yeah, I tolerate it.
Like it, don't love it.
And not exactly. Now, do you run year round, or do you train and then kind of tail off and train? And
for the most time, we run year round.
Because there must be some cold running days in Indiana.
Yeah. Once it gets below 10, it's kind of questionable. If it hits zero, we're out.
Yeah. That's safe to say, because it'd be unsafe to run. Below zero, you know, that's their cutoff ball. If it's below zero, they don't train that day.
Well, exactly. You know, how can you do that? But I do want to get to the game a little bit, and, you know, as much as I'm sure that our listeners are fascinated with the running career.
Hey, we're a family.
Roots.
We are a family.
We are a family.
PFW is a family, global family.
And in order to become a member of our family, is very
to buy lunch.
There's one simple way to do it, and the Roots have done it. Anyway, couple of things. Just cleaning up some bookkeeping this morning. Tommy Kelly remains off the practice field for the Patriots, so that's, you know, kind of looking like he's going to be a no-go again.
So you know what that means? There's a chance for Silver Seeliga to get promoted.
Yeah, I suppose there is a chance. There's always a shot, Andy.
We could get a Samoan.
But Aqib Talib and Danny Amendola for the second day in a row were out there, so I would say, conversely, it looks like they might be able to give it a shot on Sunday. What do you expect from either one of those guys? Are you concerned?
I'm really concerned about Talib. I'm concerned about both of them because I saw one guy coming off maybe the worst concussion I've ever seen in terms of the immediacy of him getting up.
I love your diagnosis. Worst concussion I've ever seen.
Well, all I can base it on is I've never seen a guy get up with such jelly legs and look as bad as he did. And, oh, by the way, while he couldn't walk, still wanting to fight his way back into the game. He didn't look good. So I'm going to have concerns until I see him take a couple hits and prove that he can defend himself and think for himself on the football field.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
That's not nice. As for Talib, I'm concerned this is going to be a recurring thing that's going to, you know, pull it, strain it, miss a week, come back, you know, all that stuff. I think you need him. I think it'll be nice to have him to help you deal with Hartline and Wallace. But I'm going to be concerned that this becomes more of a longer-term issue because of the shorter-term layoff he had of just a week.
Yeah, I mean, I am concerned about the whole situation. Like last year, we you know, like you mentioned, and we talked about with Talib just being, to me, he was just another guy out there last year. He helped because the Patriots needed another NFL cornerback, and he's certainly a solid cornerback. But this year, he played at a whole different level than that, and I think it impacted the defense. Accordingly, I think you got a lot better on defense as a result of his play and his consistency and his ability to lock up. Now, you know, even Fred yesterday was talking about having some concern if you're going to lock him up with a guy like Mike Wallace,
right,
who can run. And if he's not at 100%, I'm not sure I like that matchup as much. Maybe you have to help him out. Hartline's a guy that can get behind you, too.
Both teams are going to have to find out what he is, I would think. Yeah. I mean, I know the Patriots have the practice week to sort of build up to it, but it's not the same. You know, he's not going to go all out. He's not being challenged to go all out. So both teams, which is why I said I would throw at him. I would throw at him early and try to figure out, okay, he's back, he's healthy, so I'm not going to throw much the rest of the day toward him. Or, no, he's not, and I'm going to steal a few plays here before Bill Belichick realizes Talib's not okay.
Yeah, and I agree with you. You know, it's definitely something that I think that Tannehill's going to have to look at. And
who has a bad shoulder, by the way?
Yeah, he's on the injury report, too. You know, the injuries around the league, I know that it's not an interesting thing to talk about because what's the answer? I mean, you can't fix it. You know, our buddy Felger yesterday tells me, you know, there's one or two things has to happen. You know, either you have to, you know, really, really up your testing, you know, like the Olympics, and make sure that everybody's on a level playing
field. Which, by the way, the Olympics aren't on a level playing field.
Yeah,
they're just like everybody else. You find out later
right.
that they are in some investigation for steroid use.
Yeah, so.
So the Olympics, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, they test
that
for
a lot about
HGH, but they don't catch anybody on HGH. They test for steroids, but they don't catch anybody on steroids. So forget that the Olympics are this high and mighty drug testing standard. They're not. They miss it just like everybody else.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
And his other thing about the fields. Have we proven that field turf causes injuries?
Yeah, I didn't know that all these injuries were the result of field turf.
I
wasn't aware of that.
I wasn't aware of it, and I'm not sure it's true.
Field turf? What is, you know, I don't understand.
Now, the
that.
Bigger, faster, stronger may be accurate in his assessment that you need, if you want guys to be less injured, you know, have them not be as big and strong and powerful and banging into each other and tearing pecs and all that. But the Olympic, quote, standards do nothing there.
No. What is the, you know, I don't want to get into our keys to the game, Andy, because I like to save
those. That for Sunday.
I like to save those for Sunday. But what are some of the things that concern you about this game?
Besides
health. I think we're all in agreement that the Patriots' health is a concern.
I think the big plays would be the biggest concern, that Tannehill comes out and just make some plays down the field to Hartline and Wallace. You have two guys that can do it, not just one focal point. And we saw it a little bit last week. The Patriots gave up a couple big plays. If Tlaib is limited and or not out there, you know, I don't think it's 100% guarantee he's going to be out there, even though he's been practicing, you know, on a limited basis all week. I think that's a fear, is giving up the big plays to them.
You guys have any specific fears about this game? Other than saying, I hope we win.
Losing.
Tlaib would be the guy that I'd be most concerned about, because I think you guys have talked about it a lot. He's really changed the defense this year, and I think, and it's callers have mentioned this before, he kind of puts everybody else in their slot where
yep.
they all fit.
Yeah.
And nobody seemed to fit last week.
I think that's a big factor, but I'm here to tell you I have an email from Pat in Agawam, who is going to let everybody know there's no need to fear.
Okay, good.
Because
Fred's not doing that.
He hasn't had a chance to write because he's been a little bit busy. But he's going to the game Sunday, and this is the first time he'll be at a game since 2009 against the Tennessee Titans. Andy, do you remember what happened that day?
I believe they won 59-0.
59-0 smackdown. So he's come up with four things that he thinks are detrimental to the Patriots winning this week, and feel free to agree, disagree, or throw out other factors that you may feel are more important to winning. So keep in mind that he's, you know, the last time he was there, they won. Number one, do not give up more than one sack to Miami's defense. They have the talent up front. They have talent along their front, but not the same as, say, the Jets do. If the line doesn't step up and give Brady some time, it could get bad, and you could get less than 55% of his passes again. Number two is tackle, damn it. He gets very upset when he writes that.
Tackling is indeed important in football.
Miami does have good skill players, and I don't expect the D to completely shut them down, even if Tlaib is back. They're going to make some plays. Just don't turn any 5- to 10-yard plays into 20-plus yard plays. This will also help you get off the field on third down. Number three, the player you take out of the equation is Brian Hartline, not Mike Wallace. Wallace is far more talented. That's not what I'm arguing. But if you focus on him and leave the middle open and leave the middle open, the run, and for Hartline and Gibson to catch 20 passes between them, I don't see Tannehill targeting Wallace 10 or more times on Sunday unless they get him off the line clean. What do you think of that one?
I don't get it. If I focus on taking Hartline away, why wouldn't he have 20 or more to Gibson Wallace?
Yeah, I think it would.
He's afraid to throw to Wallace?
Hartline's not an over-the-middle guy. Hartline's an outside deep threat.
He's similar. I mean, he was the deep threat before Wallace got there.
Yeah, he'll catch some deep in-cuts just like Wallace will. I mean,
right.
He'll make people on deep crossing routes. He can hurt you. They're very similar receivers, mm-hmm. Hartline and Wallace. His last one is a 50-50 split with the run and the pass, or get as close to that number as you can. It's common knowledge that the offensive line likes to run block more than pass block. We don't need to drop back and pass 65 times against the Dolphins to win. Assert yourself as the more physical team, and when your offense is on the field and their defense will get tired and demoralized.
Dolphins are a reasonably physical defense.
Yeah.
They're pretty good in the middle. I think they're 3-8 a carry for opponents this year, which is only slightly worse than their own 3-9 a carry.
Just because the Dolphins don't have a good offensive line doesn't mean they're not a physical team. And by the way, the Patriots right now, missing Wilfork and Kelly, are not a big physically imposing front.
Your guy's getting pushed around, a little bit.
They're 300-pounders and not 340-pounders.
And that's why we need Silver Seeliga.
You can't even say it. I know that this...
the Samoan.
A lot of common sense and fundamentals. All that said, I picked the Patriots to win 31-21. Talk to you guys next week. So thanks, Pat. And I feel better because usually when he goes, the Patriots win big.
So once is enough to say usually?
Yeah. 59 okay. to nothing. That counts for more than
Can
one game.
Can a single be a trend?
The last time he was there, they won 59-0.
I am going
to
say...
Looking? Is Fred here? Because I'm dying to get out of this
seat. I was watching TV. Jeff Saturday over there.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say they're not going to win 59-0. I am going to say
that
the Dolphins will score.
Do you guys think they're going to win 59-0?
No.
No.
Do you think they'll win by more than a touchdown since 6 of 7 games have been within a touchdown?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Oh, not a lot of woo, homerism in this room.
Now, let's see if we can get some homerism on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Sean is in Vancouver. He's going to lead us off this week.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hi, Sean.
Hi. You know, I've been watching the Patriots a long time, and has there ever been a third quarter as poorly played as the one against the Jets last week? I've been 40 years, I don't remember anything that atrocious. It was just terrible play, and I can't think back.
It was bad.
I'm going to guess yes. But
I mean, if you're saying the third quarter specifically, I would say, I mean, I don't know, but I mean, they've had quarters like that this year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I would put the Cincinnati first quarter.
First quarter wasn't far off. The Tampa Bay first quarter wasn't far off. Three and out 3 times in a row to start the game.
You you gave up a pick six, and
The third quarter in the Jets game was abysmal, no doubt.
Yeah, one thing I'd like to see this week that they didn't really focus on against the Jets, but they did against New Orleans, and obviously it's defense that dictates that. But I like to see Ridley get the ball a lot more. I like him to have more of a balanced attack, because that was I think that's a problem that also caused pressure on Brady. When you're being predictable, they're just going to come after you like that.
Well, I think the numbers got a little out of whack because of the situation in the game, but I've been surprised. I don't know if you were here yesterday, Paul, when we talked about this, but Josh McDaniels has openly talked for like 3 weeks now about how important it is to stay balanced. And when it gets out of whack one way, he works to bring it back into balance. And it's another one of those things I don't remember them ever saying before. It's not to the degree, but it's almost like the Randy ratio. Like, you have these predetermined things in your mind that you want to live up to. And I always thought the company line was, whatever we have to do to move the football and score points is what we want to do. Now it's, well, we always want to be balanced, and if it gets out of whack, I want to do whatever it takes to bring it back into balance.
It does seem like they focus an awful lot on some of these different things that for years we were told didn't matter.
Poo-pooed. Totally shot them down if they ever brought them up. That said, I would like to see them establish Ridley a little bit more. His last two games, he's run the ball well, 96 yards and then 50 yards in limited chances last week against a good defense. You can't even say it was a bad defense. I was disappointed that they weren't able to get the third and shorts. I talked a little bit about that yesterday, but this is a pretty good Miami front against the run. So we know they're a game plan team and they're not going to run their head into a wall and all that, but I'd still like to see Ridley get the chance to maybe get it going a little early.
Yeah, well, just to have, above 40%, just to give the play action a chance, because the game with the Jets never, score wise, never out of hand.
No, I know, but I think they felt
they were never on the field.
Yeah,
the offense was never on the field.
Yeah, well, when you turn the ball over like that,
they only turned it over once.
Yeah, that was the only turnover. It was turning it over on three and outs, turning it over on not playing well, turning it over on a sack.
When you go 1 for 12 on third down. I mean, obviously, the best you can do is run the ball three times.
Right.
So they weren't able to get – the reason why the Jets were able to get – and thanks for the call, Sean. The reason the Jets were able to pile up all those runs is because they converted 52% of their third downs.
Right.
So that allows you to run the ball three more times. And another thing that they never used to really focus on, all of a sudden the Patriots making a big deal of the fact that they averaged 4.5 yards a carry. Well, they had 80 yards. The other team averaged 3.5 yards a carry, but they had 177. Why all of a sudden these little picayune things that are making things look better are important tells me they're searching.
Right.
It tells me they're struggling and they're searching.
With your 4.5 yards of carry, you still went 1 of 12 on third down. It's not like you were getting to third and two and was making it life easy on you.
Whereas
half their third downs,
the Jets were able to do that.
Half their third downs were 3rd and 10 and longer. So it's not like you were setting it up because you were running the ball on, well, with 4.5 yards of carry, you were setting up short yardage. They were in long yardage a lot.
No, and they had a 17-yard touchdown run, which kind of makes those numbers look a little bit better than they were. Sean's point, I largely agree with. I think Stephen Ridley needs to be more of a focal point of the offense on a consistent basis.
And I would get back to sort of my Gronk argument. You only have limited weapons right now. Why don't we go with the proven ones? Gronk is your best pass catcher, your best pass-catching weapon, and Ridley is one of your best offensive weapons. The guy had 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns. Lean on him a little bit. Okay, if he fumbles, if he's not ready, if he's not as good as we think he is from last year, then move forward from there. But I'm not sure you've given him the chance to do that this year all that often.
Let me play a little devil's advocate on the other side and take their viewpoint, and I'm wondering if maybe this has anything to do with it. Maybe Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady are looking at it and saying, listen, we're really struggling to get any kind of cohesion with our passing game. And we don't want to put ourselves in a lot of third down situations when we haven't really thrown the ball yet. We don't want to run the ball twice and then set up a 3rd and 6 and then only give ourselves one chance to throw for a first down. Because we're not as confident that we're going to be able to do that on the one throw as we were. We feel like we need 2 or 3 cracks at it to get that first down. Again, devil's advocate. But maybe Tom is just not comfortable enough. And we know that he's checked in and out of a lot of these runs, two runs. I find it kind of funny. Just last week against New Orleans in that goal line situation, we were killing them for running the ball all three downs.
Right.
Now it's, we're not running the ball enough. And, who knows? Next week,
that's always what
different.
Happens when you're not playing well on offense.
Yeah. And then
question the play calling, you question the ratio and all that crap.
And that's, to me, the bottom line. Logan Mankins said it perfectly. When your offensive line's not playing well, it's hard to score points, he said yesterday. That's the bottom line, is you're not playing well enough to score a lot of points. So you can run it, you can throw it, you can do different things. And once in a while, you might trick them, and it might work. But consistently, you're not moving the ball the way you normally do. Let's get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline and talk to Michael out in Oregon.
Hello?
Yes, Michael, what's up?
Hello.
Well, so I want to thank you for taking my call. It's really cool. I've been listening to you guys for a long time, so this is nice.
See, good, Matt,
good to have you.
This is what happens when people get to talk to us. They get excited about it.
Oh, I know. I can tell.
Yeah.
No, you're the one who's excited.
Before I ask my question, I got to say two quick things. I'm a student at the University of Oregon, and it's midterm time, so everyone's freaking out. You guys are my therapy. I want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Go Ducks.
Exactly. And the second thing is Fred with that Jesus comment and the accent. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was classic Kirsch. He's not here, unfortunately, then, to take your praise, but that was classic Kirsch.
And then add Andy's last in with that. Oh, my, I was dying. I was almost crying. It's hilarious.
So what's the tough midterms you got?
Oh, I'm a chemistry, man.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. And
I dropped out of engineering once I had to take chemistry. I did. No
yeah,
joke. That's how I ended up here.
Like, yeah, I got 8 more years of this stuff, so, you know.
Huh? What are you going to be, like a astrochemist?
A dentist.
Did
hopefully.
You just say chemist?
Wait a minute. You're going to take all that chemistry to be a dentist?
Yeah, it sounds weird, but I mean, like, I guess I have to do it, but, you know.
What, to know what toothpaste to mix?
I had an internship at the dental place, and it was great, so might as well go with that.
I would have never guessed that you needed a lot of chemistry to be a dentist.
It's depressing. It's depressing.
Yeah. Although right, you do have to use gas and stuff, right? You're going to know how to use that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Right, my question is, I love watching the NFL draft mock drafts, even though they're usually not right.
Well, you should read ours. That's really not right. Yeah, it's not right either. I'm just saying you should read
it. My question is, do you think they'll go for like a dynamic offensive weapon, like a Eric Ebron from North Carolina or Brandon Coleman from the Rutgers? Because obviously we can't draft anywhere besides Rutgers.
Andy?
Or do you think they'll go for defense?
I have no idea at this point. I mean, they need stuff everywhere. I mean, we've talked about how this team lacks depth. And defensively, I think they had a good starting lineup. But you also don't know who's going to be back. You know, we're talking about Spikes leaving. You could be talking about Tlaib leaving. You know, the lack of depth at defensive end and pass rushers. The lack of depth in the middle. We've talked about, is Wilfork done here? Is there any chance he could be cut? So I think defensively, you're still going to have a lot of holes. But obviously, offensively, especially with the injured guys, you have holes. Now, you've invested in the receivers and the running backs, but I think this team is going to have a lot of holes to potentially fill in both free agency and the draft. And that new thing to remember is, with the draft being in May, a lot of it will be reliant on whatever they do March, April, leading up to the draft in free agency.
All right. Well, thank you. And but just to say, just go with your gut if you have to choose one.
I would take a defensive playmaker.
I would go defense as well.
All right, that makes sense. Well, I got to get to chem class. F the Jets, squish the fish.
All right, go fill a cavity, Michael. Good job.
Who knew? 8 years of chemistry. Be a dentist.
Yeah, I would chalk up another thing that I could never have done.
Pretty sure my dentist knows nothing about chemistry. can fix my tooth that breaks every 3 weeks.
Yeah, yesterday? No, Tuesday. Tuesday, right?
Yeah, it was Tuesday. But so he was mixing compounds.
By all means, let's make fun of him.
Well, he's old.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, he actually joked last time.
If it's an old dentist, you can't make fun of him.
Well, he's not like soon to be dead old. But last time he fixed the tooth, he did say, I'll never have to deal with this again. By the time you're coming back, I'll be gone.
Speaking of old, my sister turned 40 today.
And you're older than her.
Yeah. I did call her. The phone rang 3 times this morning, and I said, wow, it's taking you a long time to get to the phone, Granny.
What an a-hole.
Yeah, but she's not listening, so what are you going to do? My kid sent a nice little video to Auntie Jen this morning, which is nice.
I gave my sister a 40 on her 40th birthday.
Oh, good for you.
She drank all the way to the very bottom before she realized, oh, I get it, I'm 40. She's not real bright.
Alex in Philly is next up on the emails here. How would you feel if we win the game but Brady's struggle continues?
I'd be happy.
Failing to throw another touchdown pass. I think Miami is better defensively than we give them credit for. And with our limitations, it could be another long day for Brady. The trade deadline is coming up. And I know most fans want Larry Fitzgerald for a 7th or Gerald McCoy for a 6th. But that's probably not going to happen.
Well, the McCoy one I'm not sure about with Shiano down there.
So how about Kenny Britt for a 3rd or Cecil Shorts? That's another name I can't say. Cecil Schwartz. I'd have to say it very slow. Kind of like Max Scherzer. I could not say that if I were on the air.
Stop drinking.
I would just call him Max all day. For a fourth, if you think a third or a fourth pick are kind of high, consider what those picks will most likely end up being.
Jake Beck.
You know, from Rutgers and cut. Alex has a little snark to him. I kind of like that.
The truth is never mean. Our second and third round picks generally suck.
Lastly, how is Talib? Will he play on Sunday? How is Amendola if he comes back and gets another injury? Does he need to choose another profession?
I know he's joking a little, but he's not all that far away from that being a major concern.
The concussion thing is absolutely, same with Austin Colley. At some point, you get, serious concussions. You don't know. I don't know Amendola's concussion history. We know Colley's. Oh, thank God. This mean I don't have to read any more emails?
Why don't you move over?
All right. Hey, Kevin, can we take a quick break?
Hey, Kevin.
We'll reset. The boss man is here, so let's step aside.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance. She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos. I like disco. I'm not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller Coaster of Love.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. I'm back.
I'm thrilled.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, what you make it such like a big hassle?
Because now
host.
I can have fun. You can't have fun when you're home.
Sure you can. I have fun.
Yeah, but you probably shouldn't.
And I have fun. I enjoy it.
Since you weren't here, I asked our guest if he was hung.
Why?
Because you weren't here. He just told you.
Because it's always on his mind.
That's actually his response. That's what Matt said.
There you go. All right. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. So what did I miss? What are you guys talking about? What's the hot topic? I literally have been out of town this morning.
Well, we were starting to talk a little bit about the game on Sunday. I don't know if you know, but Kelly did not practice again. Tommy Kelly.
Tommy Kelly.
R. Kelly.
Then he urinated on somebody.
I'm not sure if R. Kelly is available either, but Tommy Kelly
didn't practice.
Not at practice.
Okay.
Which is good news.
Why?
Because now we can promote Silver Sliga.
He's such an idiot.
Who else?
Why does everybody say that to me?
Talib and Amendola were out at practice.
On the Mendola.
So
there.
That Talib sort of was the topic that we were on. How concerned the injury. We had some emails, some calls. We had a call that really wants to get back to the balance on offense. So this combination of here's the bottom line, Fred. I'll encapsulate it for you.
Yeah.
There's some serious concern about this game. There's some trepidation among
Patriots. I don't blame Patriots fans for feeling that way.
Do you think... And our fans, who are also going to the game, Fred, on Sunday after they run the half marathon.
Where are your seats?
The stadium.
Second level, is it section 122? Is 122 on the second level or is that 222?
No, that's the first level.
I think
200s are good.
The 200s are very underrated.
That's a very good vantage point, the 200.
Very underrated seat.
That's kind of why from looking at where we thought the view would be, it looked like it'd be good.
Because you're basically at that club seat level without being in the club, but.
You're in a corner, but it's a good look, good view.
Yeah. So, and all the seats are angled to the 50-yard line at Gillette Stadium. So.
And every other stadium on the planet not named Fenway Park.
No, that's not true.
But I asked them, you know, do you think the Patriots or do you expect them to maybe win this game by more than a touchdown? Because all their games basically have been within, and they don't. Like, there's definite doubt.
Sure. You know, well, how can you blame people from what you've seen over the last, you know, 7 weeks?
I blame you.
We're still trying to figure out who the Patriots are.
The leader of the homers is.
I blame you.
Job.
You're not doing a good enough job on Therapy Tuesdays.
Who are they going to be by the end of the season? Now, this game, we're going to win. We're going to win this game.
You should have said that on Tuesday. Maybe people would feel better now.
I did.
You didn't do a good job in therapy.
Are you mentally prepared to lose this game?
No. Really? I am not.
And you have been a lot of games this year.
Yes, I have.
But you weren't mentally prepared to lose last week, were you?
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Well, that's different. The Jets, his emotion and his brain, and you can't count.
Never prepared to lose to the Jets. But I am not prepared to lose this game. I don't think we will. I think we match up pretty well. I think we're going to really be able to take advantage of their weaknesses. I'm not as confident that they'll be able to take advantage of ours. I think with Amendola back, I think with Ridley being designated the first down back and using him on a more balanced way, I think
what are our weaknesses?
What are our weaknesses right
that
now?
That they won't be able to take advantage of.
Our offense. Playing.
So why wouldn't they be able to take
because
advantage of
Because our offense is going to be a little bit better this week.
Oh. So you don't think that they're not good. You just think that we're going to be better.
Yeah. No, I think Miami's okay.
Because I would say that their weakness is pass protection, and we can exploit that with Chandler Jones you know, getting the edge. That, right. to me, makes sense. But I was just curious as to what you thought the Patriots' weaknesses were that Miami couldn't take advantage
of. Tell
me
who the defense is going to be, and then we can get into it. If Tlaib doesn't play.
Because I'll give you one. I'll give you one. I think the Patriots' run defense has been leaky for the last month, and Miami doesn't run the ball. So that's one area I don't necessarily think Miami's going to be able to exploit a weakness.
Right.
But I know you don't think that run defense is a weakness.
But New Orleans didn't run the ball either until they ran the ball for 100 yards in the second half.
I think we match up well given our current state of affairs with this team.
Can I ask you a question? Do we throw out, like, all the stuff we used to say, like, you know, they don't lose two in a row, or Brady after a crap game always comes back? Do we throw all that crap out the window?
Yes.
Okay. Just
yes,
sure.
We can. Yeah, I'm not going by any of that. I'm going by what I've seen this year.
Okay.
Yeah, no history has nothing to do with it.
Thanks, Bill.
You know, so. You guys
I didn't even really – well, I didn't even really mean it as much in the history, just in you always thought Brady would come back with such fire and emotion and, you know, precision and just have one of those days where everybody says, you know, he came out of the tunnel and he – but I'm not sure that he can solve the, you know, the offensive line. If they don't protect him, I don't care how prepared he is to bounce back. It's not going to matter.
Right.
So I just think you're right. Now, I don't really base it on history. I just base it on the surrounding cast, to me, has a lot of answers. And I know I'm, again, an apologist, and I'm maybe taking him too much off the hook, but I don't think he can just come out and say, I'm going to have one of those games where I'm 26-28.
I think if Amendola is back and healthy, I think that makes a big difference, because now you've got Gronk and Amendola on the field for the first time this year. Each one makes the other better, and more importantly, makes Tom Brady better. And I think that's huge. It's huge.
Did you hear, this is a total aside, because you remember you joked that, you know, when Gronkowski comes back and Amendola comes, they're going to, like, run into each other and both fall down and in. Eric was telling us he was watching last week in warm-ups that Edelman was sort of covering Gronkowski and he caught it.
He swatted
at his arm. And that was like your thing. It would have been funny if they both got hurt on that. Because Edelman's not too far from that always hurt thing either.
Yeah, but... So, you know.
So Gronk is back. Have we moved on from Gronk? Because I have. I just want to make sure we all have.
Well, he did.
He has.
The injury's in the past.
And I have. I think he's healthy. The injury is not a concern or a thought for me right now. Unlike with Amendola and Tlaib and these other
people. No, we're right back to where we were in May. He's fine.
Yep.
No, but I actually think he's fine now.
No. I'm saying that's where Fred had
him. But he wasn't fine then. He was preparing for the next two surgeries at that point.
We knew he would be fine.
Fred knew he was fine then.
We also
don't know he's fine, because fine people don't wear the thing the size of a car on their arm.
You just said you moved on.
I've moved on.
So you think he's fine.
This is the part where Andy can argue
absolutely
anything.
But he's not totally fine, because as he said, he'll be wearing that monstrosity on his arm the rest of the year.
So you haven't moved
on. And he may have to go up with one arm the rest of the year.
It doesn't sound to me like you've moved on.
I have. The injury is not a thought to me.
Well, that's
a question. I will play him no matter what. I will play him in the run no matter what. I'll play him in the pass no matter what. He is the centerpiece of my offense no matter what.
And the injury isn't a thought to you because he's fine.
The last part of that
you
said...
See, I'm not willing to say that last sentence, because he has that monstrosity on his arm.
But how much does that affect his mobility?
I don't think it does much, from what I saw.
It's not on his elbow. Well, he does have that little pad covering, but I don't think it hinders him one bit.
I don't. I think it's more mental.
Do you think that he didn't put up the other arm and he could have?
I think it would have been hard.
Okay, well...
I think that was Welker-esque.
If the answer's no, then he's not fine. If he couldn't put up his arm,
fine. But some of that is like body angle, torque, I can't lift my arm.
I'm wondering how restrictive that whatever. I just keep calling it an apparatus because I don't know exactly what it was. I've never seen anything like that.
Brace/pad/apparatus in places.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it was.
I think it's made. I think they made it.
And I'm personally. Wondering if
I've
that,
never seen it
if
before.
That hindered him at all in trying to get the other arm up on that play.
Yes, it did.
Really?
I think it's a fact.
Why?
Anytime you wear a brace, it hinders you. It might be 1%, not 50%.
But it's not a brace.
Doesn't matter.
It's a cover.
Doesn't matter. It hinders you.
A brace is every player on a joint.
Every player would always. It is on a joint because it goes from the low part of his arm to the upper part of his arm.
No. The
elbow. You sound like Seinfeld. It's not a purse.
It stops at the elbow, and then there's a pad that extends in the back.
No, there's definitely something on the upper arm. You weren't watching.
But, oh, no, it went all the way up over the elbow.
Yeah.
It, absolutely.
It goes past the bend.
Like a J.J. Watt thing?
Yes. It looks like half J.J. Watt, half Barry Bonds.
Oh, it wasn't a Donjoy, as Andy likes to say.
No, it's not knee brace. But every player in the world would choose to play without an apparatus if they could. It in some way hinders you. There's extra weight there. There's extra size there. There's extra limitation. There is something. I don't know if it's super minor 1% limitation or 40% limitation, but it limits you.
But I do agree with the overall premise that he is going to be Gronk. He is
back.
He's back, and barring something else happening, I think that he is to be relied upon at this point going forward.
He was this close to a monster game. He had a very good game.
And I got to think the lingering rust prevented the monster game.
Right, the sun got in his eyes a little bit.
And I think that one-handed catch is one that he might make the next time.
Yeah, I'm not quite as... I mean, didn't he say 9 out of 10?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I know you're good, Gronk.
It would have been a fabulous catch. But I will say, in watching replays of it a little bit, it was a really soft throw, one that would be easily grabbed.
A cradle,
right.
You don't have to, snare it. Yeah. Kind of cradle it in. I think he tried.
You know, in terms of a one-handed catch, that was, one that can be made.
Right.
And I've seen him do that. So, sure, it's the opposite. Remember how we gave Belichick all the credit for the post Aaron Hernandez thing? Like, oh, he was so good because the bar's so low. Well, it's the opposite for Gronk. The bar's so high because you've seen him make so many ridiculous catches.
But even the one he caught down the seam, he ended up on like the 2-yard line.
Yep, that would have been a touchdown.
Right.
Three potential touchdowns that very
next
easily.
Week or 2 weeks from now, that's a touchdown because he kind
of
stumbled
and just think
there's
of how
no
that
way they would have tackled him.
If he catches 11 balls for 180 yards and 3 touchdowns, not only do you win, but people are like, whoa, oh my God, he's Gronk. He's carrying us, we're fine on offense, but instead we got 8 of 17, and people are saying he's too Gronk-centric, stop throwing the ball to Gronk. That's how you people are, you flippant people.
Well, on that first game, maybe they're right.
That's flippant,
on
not
the
flippant.
First, on the first game back, maybe there's some validity to that.
To what? He was the best player on the field on Sunday,
maybe,
just like he will be this Sunday.
Allowing him to get his feet under him and...
It's a luxury you don't have.
Allowing him to open up other options.
It's a luxury you don't have.
And we don't know
with
yet...
With Tweedledee and Tweedledum dropping every other pass.
We don't know yet if Gronk on the field... opens up these other guys, because we didn't really test that theory.
Yeah, well, I don't care if they're open or not. I'd like them to catch the damn ball. I still think that's a problem.
Well, we'll see. I think they're getting better.
When in doubt, throw to Gronk.
Yeah, who's getting better?
Dobson.
Okay.
Last week, it was Villano and Jones that were getting better before they gave up a $177 on 52
I actually
carries.
Think they are getting better. I haven't seen the development of the receivers.
Dobson,
that everybody
Collie's getting
Jones's backward skating
in.
Has been phenomenal. He'll be good on defense and
you
hockey.
You focus on one play. Like, he got killed on one play, so that means he didn't do anything on any of the others.
I think he's a good... You're right on him. He's a penetrator. He's a pass rusher. Not sure he's a run stopper.
Save that one, Kevin. Andy just said I was right about
trouble
something.
Trouble is, they're asking him to be a three-down lineman. I think he might have been fine in the Finene
role.
Trouble is, he's a three-down lineman.
And that's why I was talking last week that you guys completely blew out of
Well, you had
proportion.
Him as Warren Sapp.
No, I said that he's more of a penetrator,
he had him as the best penetrating defensive tackles in Sapp.
I said I thought that
this is what he does.
In watching him play, I thought that he more resembled a penetrating defensive lineman that could be useful in a pass rush more so than a stout 4-3 tackle. And I thought that might be why they brought Neblett in to use a little bit. Now it turns out they used him for like 8 plays, and he hardly played.
And
now
they
released him
away.
Because they have your guy, Silver, silly guy.
Actually, the first
on the
thing
practice
we,
squad.
When Paul first said he's a penetrator, both Mark and I went, he said penetrator.
Because, you can't talk football without being...
Right. And I've swayed Mark Bertrand down to my level. I brought him down to my level. Mr. Professional Real Radio, I brought down.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Tyrone, who's in Delaware and on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Tyrone.
So Chester will be happy.
Hey, you guys, nice to talk to you.
Okay.
I got three.
Are you at the bottom of a well right now?
You got a crab cake in your mouth?
No, I'm driving.
Oh, okay, good. Go.
No, God.
You got the shifter in your mouth?
Excuse me? We can't hear you, Tyrone. It's a bad connection. Call back. Call back. We can't tolerate that.
Yeah, I mean, as much as our buddy Chester... called for him. He was looking for Tyrone yesterday, but I can't deal with that. That's bad phone.
Got to get a landline.
You got to get a landline.
John of Pennsylvania says, do you guys think that Amendola will play this week? If so, do you think he will make it to halftime before he gets kicked in the ovaries again and is taken out of the game?
Oh, I can't believe you just read that.
That's
right
terrible.
In the baby maker.
I can't believe you just read that.
That's terrible. That's insinuating that the guy's not tough. He's tough.
Tough as nails.
Tough as nails.
Brittle as glass. Yeah.
I do think he's going to play.
Peanut. Brittle.
Yeah. Brittle is peanut.
I do think he's going to play, and I think he's going to have a good game. So there.
So you got that going for you. Fred Finks.
I think anytime
playing
he
the role
plays,
of Eddie Andelman,
he's going to have a good game. I mean, he's proven that he works with Brady. He can catch the ball.
Right.
He's going to be fine.
How many
he
games
plays.
Has he played? Three?
Yeah.
He's really only had one good one.
So.
Right?
But he's been productive.
Not in the other two games
he will
wasn't.
Throw to him. And unlike he won't throw to, or whatever I'm talking about, to Dobson and Tompkins.
I think he'll benefit from having Gronk out there.
I think the other day,
look to him.
Gronk was like first and foremost on Brady's mind the whole time.
Right.
Amendola will seep his way into that assessment.
Okay. Steven from Toronto. With all the talk about Brady's hand slash wrist, I wanted to add that it looked like it happened early in the game when Tampa Bay was in his throwing motion. Oh, when Tom Brady was in his throwing motion,
Tampa Bay.
A Jets player reached out and made contact with the ball in Brady's hand. After the play, when they went to commercial and showed it from the backside, you could see his fingers bend back.
Yeah, Fred, did you hear about, and they're talking about on NFL Network now, Rob Gronkowski is holding a football 101 for women at Harvard.
Are they calling it a Gronktini party?
And you got to be 21 over. It's drinking.
Nothing good is going to happen.
I know.
Tammy, you in? Hell yeah. Sorry, Matt.
Yeah, nothing good can come out of that. I don't know who's sanctioning this.
He's
having it at Harvard, I guess.
Harvard Stadium.
Yeah.
There's a cocktail hour, and then it leads into Gronk. And
going out. And
leads into Gronk.
Motorboating. Yeah.
I could just... You know, this is just a way for Gronk to say, I'll take you.
Yep,
and you,
exactly.
And you. See the rest of you later.
My brother will take you.
Right. That's all it is. Oh, my God.
It's great, isn't it?
Somebody.
But he's back.
Yeah, he's back.
This is what we want. Wouldn't you take this over the injury and the forearm and all that crap?
Yeah, if those are my two choices, yeah.
So I'll take
you know
Gronk
what I really
catching
take?
Balls.
A very dedicated, hardworking,
he's
productive Gronk.
You
without all
not...
the other stuff. But if I have my two choices between the guy who can't play because he has an arm
you take
infection,
the good, you take the
I'll
bad.
Take this one.
This
but why
is
does
Gronk.
It have to be like that?
Because
why do I have to take the
this
bad?
This is Gronk. If you want Gronk, you get Gronk, who's a chick-loving, beer-drinking
this
partier.
This is what we said about the last tight end. Well, you know, this is what you got to take. He's productive on the field, but you got to take the other stuff.
He just pulled an Andy for
let's
a
fix
Wait
the
a
other
minute.
Stuff.
He just compared a cocktail party to a double homicide. I mean, what?
Let's fix
whoa,
the
whoa,
other
whoa.
Stuff.
And
at
you
what
compare
point,
beer to
at
angel
what
dust.
Point, Andy? And listen, I'm being serious with the. You know, I understand the Hernandez thing is
typical
Paul hyperbole, but this one to me, I don't understand why they have to take the bad. Why can't he be all Patriots?
But who said it's bad?
Because I think it's bad. Why? I don't think he's.
He can't go teach women about football. What's bad about that? He's doing a service to his community.
It's always something with
he's
this
helping
guy.
The brand. He's creating. Female
I didn't like.
Football
I didn't
fans.
Like the video last week. You know, trumpeting his return either. I mean. Can't it just be all Patriots at least during the season?
Like Brady. Oh, wait, no.
At least during the season, can't it be all Patriots? You can't even make up your mind whether you want to be an apologist for Brady or
what I worry
or
about,
just slam
I'm
him.
Called objective.
Oh,
what
really?
What I worry about most with Gronk is
changing your argument to suit the particular argument is called
objective.
Being objective?
All this Gronk Nation stuff and the T-shirts and all this brothers get – there's a lot of people around Gronk that want to be involved in leverage Gronk.
Right.
And that's not a good thing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, because you could think they could, quote, rush him back.
Their first priority is not winning football games.
You know where you really lack objectivity?
Their first priority is making money off the name of Gronk. And
I think, by the way, we're
going
to get bumped off the air. Chandler Jones needs to tape something.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm being serious. The other studio is being used.
He's at the door.
That's fine.
So he needs to tape something. We're going to take like a 5-minute break
at
some point.
So why don't they bump the
other Actually, he just walked away. And Kevin has a bad look on his face.
Kevin, tell him to come back later.
I don't know.
Show.
Kevin, what's going on?
Nothing. Chandler Jones is going to record something, but No Socks came down and said he's going to do it in KSP studio.
Oh, okay.
So that we don't have to take a 5-minute break for him to record.
All right. Well,
did he have his game shirt on?
It's a busy day. He's doing Bank of America. He's going through like the car wash. He's doing a bunch of commercials.
Okay.
Oh, really? Like, was this an audio or a video?
It's so he's doing radio in stadium and TV commercials, and they're. Recording all of it in one day to try to get it over with.
Okay.
These are in-house things for us?
No, they're for Bank of America.
But are they part of promotions with
I think so.
Bank of America is kind of tight with them.
All right.
Because I was waiting for you to say, it's not all about the Patriots with Chandler Jones.
Clearly it's not.
Alex in Philly
But that's okay.
You know the difference. And don't be
exactly. And,
don't
that's
be
why,
I actually have no
and
problem
that's actually
with you
why
being
he
critical.
Didn't say it.
I know.
I have no problem with you being critical because you've always been, you know, Chad Ochocinco, whoever. You don't like the off-field stuff when it.
I don't mind it to a degree, but I think it's starting to get to that level of.
And I don't mind. I don't mind that he is a fun-loving guy and he's drunk and he does this all this stuff. You know,
I like that
when he's in Vegas and doing his thing in the off season. I don't mind that anywhere near as much as most people do. Listen, he's a young guy and that's his personality. I don't want to stifle that, but I do think clinics like this and the video last week more so than this clinic. At what point is the Patriots the top priority?
To anyone. They shouldn't play Madden when they go home. They shouldn't go to the movies.
See, listen,
you have free time. How you choose to use it is up to you.
I know Mr. Objectivity over there. You know, you can't be objective when it comes to Gronk.
I love Gronk.
Yeah, and you don't even admit that he's not smart. So, I mean.
Well, I think he is smart.
Because he's not.
I think he has this organization, the football world, a lot of people just in his hands, and he's rolling them around.
Alex from Philly writes in.
I think he's in a lot of people's hands getting rolled around.
I think he's fine, but I do contend.
Really made that sound dirty.
I do. Well, that's true. B.B. Jones. I do contend that all these guys do a lot of weird stuff in their free time. Or even childlike stuff. Just playing video games for like 6 hours at a time. I don't know why that's any
different.
The show
gets when Fred gets here.
I don't know why that's different than going to Harvard and just hanging out with some ladies.
The difference here is that there are other people involved that have motivation that's different from what Gronk should be.
But they're
here to leverage and make money.
Okay,
and
does it infringe upon
him as much as they can?
Does it infringe upon him being a Patriot and succeeding in his job?
It potentially could.
But anything could potentially.
But the answer
happen.
To that, Andy, is I don't know.
Has it and does it?
You don't.
I don't know.
The man is a touchdown per game.
There's more chance.
The man is your leading receiver when he plays.
There's more chance of that getting in the way of football than him going home and playing video games.
Not necessarily. He could get addicted.
Okay.
That's a legitimate addiction.
Are you?
You're just going to go down swinging, right?
Yep, like seriously, 5 minutes
somebody's
got to
defend Gronk around
did you
here?
Have an aneurysm like
somebody's
got to
defend Gronk
five
around
minutes
here.
Ago?
I'm defending his football.
What does that even mean?
I'm trying to keep
but,
him.
But, I mean, I can't say that it hasn't affected it.
Right? So don't.
No, I can't say that it hasn't affected it.
But you can. He's great.
But I don't know how much greater he could be.
So Brady could be greater if he didn't go to Costa Rica all offseason.
Well, that's what you've said over the years.
And that's
so
an argument.
Now you're a hypocrite.
That's an argument.
You're an absolute
repeatedly.
Hypocrite.
No, I'm not. Because
oh,
you
yes,
know the
you
di-
are.
You know
oh,
the
he
difference?
Doesn't have the, he doesn't have the parking spot this year. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Oh, just hold him. Oh, now he's going down to Costa Rica. Oh, now he has kids. And now he's going to be different. Well, but back when he wasn't different, they were winning Super Bowls. So what do you think about that? That's you.
You know
you're
the
a hypocrite.
But do you know the difference?
Yeah, Brady's won three titles. Gronk has none.
The difference is now it suits your argument before
no,
it didn't.
The difference is Gronk puts working out and football first all offseason, and that's clear.
Oh, yeah.
You don't even argue that.
I
wouldn't think
you.
That. Well, that's ridiculous.
I do argue
that's
that.
Ridiculous.
Do you think that he puts.
Gronk lives.
Do you think he
to
treats
be a
his body as a temple? Yes or no?
Wow, you finally answered one of these questions honestly. Congratulations.
Well, what's the science? Is alcohol bad for the body?
James Pettigrew says, sure, Andy, Gronk is servicing the community. That's only because you classify what your mother does as servicing the community.
Yeah, when
oh, that's not right.
Oh,
that's not right.
Right. Glad you lost that customer yesterday. That was just mean.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
well
Gronk
done,
probably
James.
Does have a different view of community service. Hey, ladies, want to take part in some community service?
Micah's in New Jersey. Hey, Micah.
Hey. Hey. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. You guys sound a lot different over the phone.
Well, you sound perfect. You got a good landline there, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's Verizon LTE.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah, that's good. They're a sponsor, too.
Right. I had a couple questions. I'm in your boat with Hightower where I'm not really impressed. Like, what are his strengths? I know his weaknesses as I look at him, but I'm a little biased. Like, what is he doing good this year?
He did a fine job, I think, calling the plays on Sunday.
He did. That's true. But that's always his game.
Heady. You know. I don't see him caught out of position. I just think physically he's not competing in the job they have him as a seemingly a coverage linebacker.
Okay. So you think it's just him being in the wrong?
Well, the problem I have is we were sold versatility, and I haven't seen the versatility.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. See, okay.
But is that him or is that them? Are they not asking him to rush enough? Should they give him a few more chances to be a sub-rusher? Should they add that to his game? And early in the year, you remember Bill said, oh, we're putting a lot more on his plate. And, you know, we're going to ask him to do more. And he said, oh, I can feel like they're asking me. Well, it hasn't led to anything. All that stuff on his plate has led to nothing. Well,
I know. I just I had high hopes when they drafted him.
I did too. I was all in.
And out.
He's taking a turn down Bus Street. I mean, he's going down that road.
That sucks.
Well, it's true.
You think he's that? I mean, like to that point?
Or irrelevant. I think he's irrelevant.
I think he just sort of looks like just a
a fifth round pick.
Well,
yeah, if a fourth or a fifth round pick who's capable of being out there and making some tackles, but do something.
I don't know if he looks that bad, but I can't make a strong argument that he looks like a first round pick. I got to side with
Andy. Not even a first round pick in terms of, you know, he's supposed to be a versatile first round pick that can do all these. We've seen none of that.
Yeah.
And I like him, by the way. I don't want this to go into, I don't like him, or he's a very nice guy. You talk to him, you know, he sells you on it. He's convincing. But I almost feel like everybody's convinced he's something he isn't. And
I feel the same way. I don't know, maybe I'm waiting for it to happen, or maybe I should just kind of look at him like he is what he is, and this is sort of what we get, and maybe I'll feel better about him. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, next year, we've been talking about the post-Brandon Spikes era, if that occurs.
Right.
Does he become your middle linebacker?
I think he does.
And I'm fine with that because Mayo, to me, has shown more athleticism and playmaking ability in the last year and a half. He has come on nicely. He had the nice year five jump that Paul looks for. And Collins is an athletic, versatile guy, theoretically, too.
Well, the thing about Hightower is, you know, we go back to the coaching film. Maybe there's a lot of things that he's been asked to do that he's done well. But when you look at him, what is it about? What are the things that you say, wow, he really does that well?
Well, Micah's point is accurate. Bad. Like, what, you know, what has stood out to you? What would you say that you've seen from him?
It's not speed. I haven't seen him, like, overpower guys.
I mean, with Spikes, you look at it and say, I've seen him deliver a blow on in the running game. He's a good run-stuffing guy.
Yeah.
And you've seen him fill a hole and, you know, burst in and tackle a running back for a two-yard loss.
Yeah.
See it, like, once a game.
Awesome.
Right now, I'd say, right now, if Hightower is a guy who will have a serviceable career, barring injury, for a long time. He'll always have a job in the NFL. Okay.
Right, which is like a mid-round pick.
Well, yeah, it could be.
Right.
You know,
but or a disappointing first round.
Obviously,
very
we're looking for more, given his draft status.
And, but what you said, if he was a versatile playmaker, they would give him the, you know, they would put him in position to make those plays. If that was a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not going to waste that and say, well, he's doing other stuff you don't notice, but we're asking him to do stuff in the, well, no. If he could change games and make plays, you'd ask him to change games and make plays.
Probably.
Yeah. So maybe it's just a matter of perception is the problem I'm having.
No, I think you're perfectly dead on. The problem is he's not living up to his resume. The perception was accurate. Bill didn't trade up to get him to be just a guy. He traded up to get him to be a core defensive player, just like Chandler Jones.
Right.
He was drafting the core of his front seven for the next decade. One guy's living up to it, one isn't.
I'm happy. Him, I'm happy with.
You should be. And that's not just because he was right outside the window a minute ago and could still be listening.
And plus, he likes to say, Andy Hart, what's going on?
He is having a very good year. He's on the verge.
He's played well.
The last two or three weeks,
I've noticed.
What I'd like to see a little bit more from him is a little bit more consistent pressure. He seems like he gets a sack or two every game. But I don't notice him a lot otherwise.
See, I've noticed him more.
I think that we need to see a little bit more consistent pressure.
I've noticed him more. Like the Charlie Brown game, I thought he dominated him early and got nothing out of it and then got the sack late. I think he's been doing more.
He's like, I think there was on the other radio show earlier.
What other radio show?
There is no other radio.
Well, he's talking about like baseball and stuff. Who's before you guys? Like, I don't listen to him often.
Nobody.
Rook? John Rook?
No, that's Playbook. That's after you.
Yeah, there's nobody before us.
Well, no, there's the Football Nation show. Football,
that's before
fantasy
us?
Fantasy football.
I do the app. So
well, if he's doing the replay, he might have listened to them before
it
us.
Been, yeah, it could have been
that. Anyway, they're fantasy players. They don't really know football.
I don't know what show it was. But that's, I'm sorry to confuse you. But he was just saying that Chandler Jones isn't like a J.J. Watt guy. He's got like a different skill set. Now he's starting to develop. And I agree with that. He's not like a scary bust-in-there guy. He's like a ninja. He gets like these moves in there, and he like scrambles.
Yeah,
now
he's more Pierre-Paul,
like a Javon Curse, maybe.
Yeah, in the back in the day, but now Jason Pierre-Paul. He's more long and athletic.
Right.
And
Watt's ninja. Almost 300 pounds.
Ninja-like, I like it.
No, he's 270, 265. Yeah.
All right, thanks, Micah. Thanks for the call. Koch writes in, Koch.
That's cock.
No.
Sometimes actually, it's Coke, but it's,
wasn't it?
It could be
Koch?
Coke. Yeah. It was Ed Koch.
Koch, right?
Was the mayor. But Sam Cook is the punter for Baltimore with that spelling.
Right. Shouldn't be Cook.
Great show. Don't miss
Take a
day,
it up with
even
Sam.
During the offseason. Anyway, just wanted to write and say I'm all in this weekend against the Dolphins, and I'll tell you why. Nance
you're a
and
Patriots
Sims.
Fan.
That's right. Nance and Sims will take us to victory this weekend.
This is the A game?
I don't have the exact stats, but I know from the last 2 years we have had a ridiculously good record, something like 7-1 when they do the play calls. You know who kills us is Gumbel and Dierdorf, 1-2 this year. And the one win was the comeback one against the Bills.
That is true.
And guess who was making the call this weekend? Nance and Sims, baby. So get ready. This week we will get at least one Gronk spike. Ridley is kicking in the door. And even Dobson will get into the end zone. I'm calling it 37-17. Lock it in. Us Pats fans got to keep the optimism going. Just think, at the end of the day, we aren't the Jags.
Who is that?
Koch.
Oh, yeah. Good job. Good job by Koch. Because that's what I was looking for. Because that's what you were supposed to inspire, Fred.
I did.
That's what I was. Yeah, you got one.
I inspired him.
No, you
but
read
that's,
it.
But that's what I was looking for. Is someone that you know, none of this, like, I don't know. I think we might win. You know,
kind of like the people we have in studio.
Is that what I
home.
Said?
That's what everybody is writing in.
Right. Well, listen.
Because you didn't inspire anybody. Listen. You didn't do your job.
Get is out. There really that big
do
a difference between
your job.
7-1 in Nance and Sims games and 5-2 overall this year? I mean, it's not all that different.
It just makes me glad I'm going to be at the game instead of listening to them on the TV.
Oh, you don't like them?
Not so much.
The last Nance and Sims game didn't go all that well either.
What was that?
The AFC Championship game.
Oh, is that the last one?
No, they played one after that.
And they won it, by the way.
I'm talking about
we that lost
that they did for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the first time that we've had them this year. That's what the whole
Aaron from
about.
Long Island. Fred, don't let Big Head poo-poo your notion that you could imitate any regionalism and or accent. I know you were there a few years before me, but did you have to take voice and articulation at Emerson? I sure did. It was a requirement.
I sure did.
You failed, huh?
It was a mandatory first-year course for all Emersonians. When
is that
I
where you learned the breathy speak?
And I learned a lot about how different areas of the country speak. He can doubt you all he wants, but this is one area where you hold all the cards. Don't let him push you around. F the Jets.
Now, would that be a fourth sport that you beat Indy at if you do?
Speaking.
Sure.
And by the way, I don't necessarily doubt you or doubt Eric. I just think I'm going to be utterly entertained by you two trying to do this. Because you don't know your Welch from your British.
That's ropey.
Brian in Essex, Vermont. Andy, your capacity for hyperbole is astounding.
I
yes,
know.
Clearly what people mean when they're discussing Gronk's activities on his off time is Gronk going to the movie theater or playing video games.
No.
Are you capable of having a realistic
other people
discussion
do that
about
all the
this,
time.
Or is this just your way of pouting and not participating?
No, other people do that all the time. My point is you have free time. How you choose to use it, and as long as it's legal, Paul, and
well,
you know, doesn't
I don't
hurt
think
anybody,
I don't
Paul.
Think he's breaking the law with most of the things that
and
he does.
And do you not think other players drink?
The question of Gronk's
I just asked you a question, Fred.
The question of Gronk's
drink.
Extracurricular activities is a valid one. Would Gronk's infection have persisted
yes.
if he hadn't been throwing his brother around in the offseason?
It's irrelevant.
Is it possible that alcohol had an adverse effect on the efficacy of the antibiotic regimen Gronk would have been taking to combat the infection? They're valid questions. And while most antibiotics aren't directly affected by alcohol, alcohol does reduce your energy and can delay how quickly you recover from illness. This isn't necessarily what happened to Gronk, but could it have had an impact? Sure. To borrow a Fred phrase, we just don't know. So
that's crap. He admitted.
Why is it crap?
Because he admitted it didn't have an effect.
No. What he said was, are these not legitimate questions to wonder? He doesn't have the answers to them. You think it's out of hand. You just miss it all as out of hand.
I do.
A lot of other
well,
people wonder.
Well, I don't support the DDT on the stage with a cast.
I'm glad there's one thing that you don't support.
I have no problem
Gronk.
With him taking a day off and teaching some young women about the game of football.
But you have to look at everything in total. You know, that's
right.
Not
in total, he's been the most dominant tight end in the game when he's on the field. That's in total.
Yeah.
How about Brett Favre?
Getting a call from the Rams?
Yeah, but that's not his fault.
No, I know, but it's
they called him.
Although I do wonder how that got out there. I'm not sure the Rams would want it out there that they called Brett Favre and he said no.
David Monterey,
right?
California. A little off topic, but please help settle an argument. I'm having Andy a conversation with my buddy, a Broncos fan, about Brewski. I say Brewski is a top 25 all-time middle linebacker. He says Brewski is a glorified Rudy.
Please give us some insight.
I have to recuse myself from this conversation.
Oh, you're such a wuss.
No, well, he's absolutely more of a Rudy.
Okay, thank you.
Top 25 linebacker of all time. Really?
Middle linebacker.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Really? I'm supposed to logically engage in that argument.
Paul says he's not one of the best 100 Patriots of all time.
I will do the research in the offseason.
He's no Rudy, but you have to go through in some of the middle linebackers of all time.
He was a good player.
I mean, he might be in the top 50 middle linebackers of all time.
I doubt it.
Well, think about it. Just think, you know.
I do.
Start rattling him off, and I think after you get to 25,
but don't,
it starts
don't you,
to slow down.
But don't you consider the Pro Bowler at that position every year as being better than the guy who wasn't a Pro Bowler?
A lot of time, the Pro Bowler is that guy
because
annually.
He's better.
No, annually. So I'm saying overall time, like Brian Urlacher was the perennial Pro Bowler. Mm-hmm. Of you know, for the NFC middle linebacker,
and Ray
Lewis. So
that's
one guy,
and Ray Lewis,
So that's one guy,
and Patrick Willis.
You know, so
he's talking all time, Frank.
Right? So am I.
Yeah, but we just came up with three current play, or basically current players.
Yeah, but those guys took up a span of 5, 6, 7 years, is what I'm saying. You know, so you look back at
okay, well, football's been around for a lot of years,
no, I know.
So there's going to be a guy who took up we're 4 or 5 years that's better than
era,
him.
You know,
no, we're not talking.
No, he said
era.
All time.
We're talking football.
No, I don't think you can compare guys before they wore helmets to what they're doing now. It's a different.
I don't
era.
Think I would need to go back to guys
yeah,
that didn't
so
wear
either.
Helmets to come up with about 500 players that are better than Teddy Bruce.
Middle linebacker.
Yes.
Oh, come on, Paul.
All time?
I just jumped ship from Paul. There's not 500 middle linebackers. That
come
are better
on.
Than him.
Come on, Paul.
And I'm the one
it's
who says
dumb
stuff.
Now, you're using hyperbole.
It's just silly.
I mean, you can say, you know.
One-time Pro Bowl alternate.
I think you get to, like, 25 greats, and then after that, a lot of them are lumped together.
I think there might be more than that. Like, for example, the Chicago Bears have three right easily off the top of your head.
Right, and each of those guys took up a long period of time.
That's one team, though.
You know?
Their linebacker for 35 years was better than Bruce.
Was he better than Steve Nelson? No, the answer is no. You already took too long.
Wow. He just ass whooped you in that one.
Yeah, but back then, was Steve Nelson ever asked to cover?
Yeah, he had 17 picks.
Well, okay. That's a good point.
He's kicking your ass. You might want to just
no,
walk
that's
away.
A good point. That's a good point.
Paul just dropped
Teddy
the bat and walked away.
I should have known because I knew that he had that Steve Nelson stat at the tip of his
Teddy
tongue.
Because he makes fun of Steve Nelson or something.
Right.
I always did until I found out he had 17 picks.
Right.
Teddy Bruschi's a good player. He is a good player. So don't mistake this that I say he stinks.
And he's not, there were 500 middle linebackers.
Right.
There's a right. lot. Listen, I mean, Jack Lambert. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, you're comparing.
No, I know you have Hall of Famers.
You're comparing
the greats of the great.
But you said 500.
But you're comparing. You're comparing.
Is Ted Johnson like, better than him?
Right.
No, Ted Johnson was not better overall than him.
Vincent Brown?
No.
Right.
Okay. No.
You're naming the greats of the great. And of course there
but
are.
But they're comparable players to Teddy Bruschi, without question.
That's why I'm asking you.
Without question.
The 600 players.
But no one would consider Ted Johnson one of the 25 best middle linebackers of all time.
No one really considers Teddy Bruschi that either.
Well, that's the argument that we're trying
to
settle.
I know, but he's a Homer Patriots fan.
And Fred's actually sitting there trying to decide if it's, you know, a possibility.
Well, because he's, you know, trying to make good radio.
What's that?
I think he was underrated.
Uh-oh.
I think he's
Paul's going to fight you right
the
now.
The most overrated entity in the history of Boston sports.
Oh, no.
Wow. Are you kidding? Think of the play. I mean, look. Yes, was he a perennial Pro Bowler? No, but he made plays. I mean, Andy, you judge guys by does he make plays?
Teddy Bruschi
can you
plays.
Not say that he made plays?
He made plays.
He made some
he
plays.
Made plays.
Plays. That's why I call him a good player.
You know, in the biggest moments, made plays.
Okay. All right, I'll give you one. Who's better, Teddy Bruschi or Gerard Mayo?
I was actually thinking about that.
It's a very good question. I think at this point, I'd say
now we got three Patriots or two Patriots that are better than him.
I'd say Gerard Mayo.
You think
just so you know, there's a lot more than just
I
two.
Have to hesitate there. Mayo of the last year and a half, I think, was better than him.
Well, but that's,
Mayo of the first whatever
well,
years.
Look at,
well,
look Bruschi at
Teddy of his
Bruschi's
first
year.
Whatever, he was a special team jet.
But Bruschi had a stretch from, like, 6 years
Matt Chatham.
Where he was good. Yes, but Mayo needs to prove to me he can be a playmaker for 3, 4, 5 years and stay on the field, by the way.
He missed three games before this or something like that?
Six, I believe. No more
Tom
than
Tom in Baltimore says, guys, are there any moves that we could do to make us a legitimate contender this year?
Jay Ratliff.
And if so, what are those moves? My opinion, I think we're going after Fitzgerald.
Someone? Oh. Jay Ratliff.
Oh, no. He said he plans on playing next year, I think he said.
Well, he just got cleared. His agent sent a letter to every team in the league that he has
been
officially cleared to play. And I immediately said, If I'm the Patriots, I look into it. If I can add a D tackle,
I would.
Booyah. Yeah.
If that's the way that's gone down, I would.
Plus,
absolutely,
he's the perfect
Bradley
guy for them because he's making boatloads of money from Dallas. So you might be able to lure him into. We could really, and with you, we can go to a Super Bowl, and you're getting paid already. So we'll just $1 million.
You get him and Saliga inside there. That'd be unstoppable.
Harry,
how do you think you pronounce that name, by the way?
I don't know. All I'm hoping Saliga is that he gets activated, and then he makes one play. I just need one play. Just knock somebody's ass.
Did you find out if he was a Samoan?
He is not from Samoa. He was born in West Jordan, Utah. But Utah is a community built on Samoans.
Is so it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he could
that
be a second-generation Samoan.
Or it's kind of like the North End all the Italians live. Yeah.
You've never
Samoans
noticed when you
Utah
watch a University of Utah that it's like all Samoans?
No, I thought it was all Mormons.
No.
Okay.
And I didn't realize all the players on Utah were from Utah, though. There are a lot of Samoans on the
Well, but they're
Utah
sons of Samoans now, obviously. It's a second generation, third generation thing.
I just didn't know they were from Utah.
What do you mean?
I didn't know all the players on the on
well,
Utah.
Well, just think of it. All these people come there Utah to play, and there's a strong Samoan community. Most of them aren't going to go to the
I didn't
NFL,
say you were wrong. So I said I didn't know
you
that.
You live there, and you have kids, and they go to Utah, and you know, you self-propagating community.
Harry in Maryland says, two broadcast journalism questions. One, why is the Monday Night Football game preceded by a three-minute music video with some pop stars singing about how great the game is? The video seems like a waste of airtime to me. Please explain.
Well, it's not a waste of airtime because they have endless pregame crap. Who does the pregame show? Who does that song? Carrie Underwood does Sunday night.
Right.
And some chick from India I've never heard of does Thursday night.
Yeah.
Who does
She's
the Monday
She's from
night?
Indy?
India.
Is
India.
Really?
She was Miss Universe from like India or something. And now she's like a pop singer. I mean, she's not bad looking, but you know, I thought
I
we had standards.
I don't think, really.
Well,
no,
that,
but like
that all started,
Carrie Underwood and Faith Hill are musicians.
Yeah. That all started with Monday Night Football when they saw what was happening with that game and they said, you know what, we're more than just a football game.
It's entertainment.
We're an event.
Yeah,
we're making
and so
it
they,
special.
And they tried to do that. And then,
who
of course,
that?
Sunday Night Football had to do it because, you know, and they brought in Faith Hill and now.
Carrie
I did hear a good.
I think it is silly, I honestly.
Francesa had a good rant. Did you hear that when he was ranting?
I'm waiting all day for Sunday
it's
night.
It's true, you're watching football all day. It's not like you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs waiting.
But basically, he spent 20 minutes saying the same thing over and
over
again.
We're watching football.
Wait, but somebody email in.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
I do want to know who does the Monday night one. But they have, like, now they have multiple pregame shows. They have, like, the GMC pregame, then the GMC launch, and then
I know.
So I don't watch any of that.
They have time for 3 minutes of
TNA. How I Met Your Mother.
Some of it's TNA, by the way.
Harry also
that
wants to know, is the NFL devaluing the TV contracts it sold to the networks as more people watch Red Zone, Thursday NFL games, and next day replays? Does this fill user demand that would otherwise tune into CBS or Fox?
I did wonder. As they're talking about, like, expanding the Thursday night or having a second Thursday, like, how many games do you guarantee CBS and Fox on a Sunday? Like, there must be a limited number of, right?
I guess.
You must guarantee we're going to have at least 12 games each and every Sunday, right?
No.
You're not really listening to me.
No, I'm not.
Well, I need you to answer this. You're Mr. Business.
Why can't Paul answer? I'm looking,
up who sings the Monday Night Open.
He doesn't go to NFL meetings. You're the big-timer who goes to NFL meetings and rubs elbows with your sources within the organization and all that. I mean, there must be rules. How can you keep pulling things from Sunday?
They work it out.
Now that you have us undivided attention, that's what you get.
Teats on a bowl.
That's your fault. That is your fault.
They figure it out.
But they're not devaluing their own pocketbooks, I'll tell you that much.
They get the same number of games. You know?
Well, that's not possible.
Huh? What's that now?
If you add Thursday night games, those are games that are otherwise would have been on Sunday. Because you already had Sunday night and Monday night. Those are old.
Right.
But if you're adding Thursday night games, you're pulling
you're
them
taking,
from Sunday afternoon.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah.
So there must be language in there that says how many times you can do that or how you go about doing that, correct?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know the answer. I'm not going to pretend that I do.
Why? Why stop now?
I don't know. Alex in Philly.
Did you see all the games in Europe got announced? It's not us.
Yeah. Three games.
Dallas, Oakland, Miami, Jacksonville, Detroit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, nobody. No us.
Alex in Philly, how would you feel if we win the game but Brady's struggles continue, failing to throw another TD pass? I think Miami is better defensively than we give them credit for. And with our limitations, it could be another long day for Brady. The trade deadline is coming up, and I know most fans want Larry Fitzgerald for a seventh
or Gerald McCoy for a sixth.
I think he already read this.
I read that
Oh,
one.
Did you read that?
That's why I deleted it.
Well, I'm in my own thing here. Did you read Collins' email?
How does it start?
All the negativity in this town sucks.
Nope. No.
I'm with you, Fred. Everything will be fine. We always play our best football in November and December, and Bill, we trust. The offense will improve, and Tom, we trust. The offensive line always gets better, and Dante, we trust.
Yep.
New receivers will get it, and even if they don't, in Gronk, we trust.
Yep.
Have faith, people, but you know, I remember when I was six, all I wanted for Christmas was the Star Wars Death Star set, and I trusted that if I was a good boy and sent a letter to Santa, I'd get it. All I got was a Chewbacca figurine and a sweater. Pretty weak, Santa. I trusted you. And later in high school, when I had my first girlfriend, she said that I could trust that our love would never die. Guess what? It did. And when I went to college, my economics professor said the capitalist model was infallible and real estate was the best investment because the value of homes would always keep going up. How'd that work out for everybody? And 6 months ago, my daughter swore to me that she would clean up after the dog and that she would never let the dog go hungry. All I can say, it's a good thing I check the dog bowl from time to time or I'd have some issues with ASPCA.
So he goes on.
Well, Kenny Keller, our good buddy upstairs, answered a question I didn't ask.
But he's not done yet. I'm not done.
It's Priyanka Chopra who does the Thursday night football.
Okay. He says, you know what, Fred? Screw you. I'm with Paul. I'll have faith in what I see, and what I see is a Gronk I don't recognize, receivers who have had six games and are still aren't any better, an offensive line that is one of the worst in football, despite being stocked with high draft picks and massive salaries, a quarterback who has a completion percentage close to Tebow's, a defense so banged up you'd think it'd been run over by a steamroller, with no reason to expect it to be healthier as the season grinds on, and a coach who was just outcoached by the New Jersey Jets. In the immortal words of Scooby-Doo and Andy, rut-row, Raggy.
So Scooby is apparently the one dialect you can't recreate.
Well, I could if I wanted to.
I just want to state for the record that the Gronkowski part is not, I'm not on the line with that. Gronkowski to me is...
It looks like Gronk.
Looked very much like Gronk the other day. A little rusty, but he'll be back to dominating soon, probably this week. 8 catches for 114 yards. I'm sorry, that's pretty good.
As predicted.
Wasn't great. Wasn't perfect. 17 targets to get there. My guess is that it'll be a better percentage moving forward because, let's face it, Gronk is unstoppable. Right?
Okay. Joel sends
a list of the top 50
linebackers of the modern era.
Where's the food?
But they're not middle linebackers. That's the problem. But number 25 is Carl Mecklenburg, so I like that. What?
He's such a Broncos honk.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that Fred loves the Broncos?
I used to. Not anymore.
He still has an Elway jersey.
He had a John Elway jersey that was so unbelievably tight, it was ridiculous. The only redeeming value was he was number 7 and not 17 because the 1 would have been under one arm and the 7 under the other. It was just,
Paul likes
it's just
that
uncomfortable.
Joke.
He does. That's his go-to.
It was just uncomfortable.
Paul likes that joke.
I just like to tell it to new people.
Well, Paul had a polo logo, and the guy had fallen off the horse.
Doesn't even make any sense.
That's why it's funny.
Jason in Wisconsin, Jets losses a row is tough to deal with, but your show makes it bearable, and as always, a great listen to when I should be in a meeting. So I'll keep it quick. A question for all in a theory before the weekend. First, my question, do you think this Jets loss was the traditional egg that the team lays against a team that they should beat every year? I could take the loss better if this is the loss that really wasn't seen coming. Okay.
No.
It could be.
You played the Jets twice, and you were dogfight each time,
yeah.
And you've been dogfighting for weeks now. So who's to say we should beat anybody? Jacksonville. I might put Jacksonville in that ballpark.
That clearly is, the way the season has gone. But you might look back at it and say, in retrospect, that Jets loss was that one. You know, we do seem to lose a game every year to a team that shouldn't beat us. And Arizona was last year, Buffalo a couple years before that.
We've almost had 5 of those this year.
Yeah, that's where I would say, it wasn't necessarily an anomaly when you played them twice. And
when are we going to blow somebody out?
Converted 5 of 30 first downs against them.
And now my theory, I think Bill has been having to start from scratch from an offense. I think he's been wanting to build an offense that is a grinding run-based offense
that attacks the linebackers more than anything else, especially speed-based coverage linebackers. I think Andy made a crack once about how the team would have no outside receivers and only go with slot guys like Welker Amendola. I think that's what Bill would have favored. Keep it in the middle with Gronk, Hernandez, and Hooman. Along with that, Bill drafted a pair of tight ends that were converted tackles. I think he tried to get them to the year two jump by stashing them on the practice squad, only to have them snatched up by Miami and Buffalo. Can't think of their names. Paul, could you help me out?
Will Yateman and Lee Smith. Smith was drafted. Yateman was an undrafted free agent.
And what was the point of drafting those?
They were going to be our tackles?
I guess so.
Well, Yateman is a tackle now.
But we have one tight end converted tackle.
But that's my theory, and that's why we don't have the guys that are close to being in their prime now as opposed to 2 to 3 years from now. Anyway, thanks for the time. Entertaining shows. Patriots 28, Dolphins 10.
Ooh, that's close to my score.
He's optimistic. Eric's here. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Fred. How are you?
What's going on?
Pretty quiet locker room today.
Quiet locker room.
Yeah, although...
He's got that shade thing where the waffle is a couple shades off from
Doesn't matter.
Right, sure. Yeah, okay. Moving on.
To maroon.
I got your quote.
I got your quote
and a follow-up quote from Julian Edelman.
Oh, J-E-11?
Yes.
Edelman?
Edelweiss.
Have we talked to him about J-E-11?
No.
That's a first down item, Paul.
We have not.
You could do it next week.
Haku has the sound.
Okay, thank you. Haku, you want to transcribe that, buddy, if you're listening?
A little something extra for you?
We walked in. Chandler Jones was right there, talked for a couple minutes, and then we waited.
So he didn't time it right today?
And then Edelman spoke to the group for a couple minutes.
And that's it?
He gave me a pretty good answer for your question.
Well, he knew it was for me. I'm a burger guy.
Okay. But he was getting under the skin of most everybody else. I don't know. You'll have to ask Bill.
Why does that get under the skin of people?
Wait a minute.
Well, because it's the way he's saying it.
He does. He's an a-hole.
No,
he comes off as a total a-hole.
I understand that. Total. But if I'm a player on that team, that's how I'm answering questions.
Right.
That's how I'm answering questions.
He wouldn't answer questions except when you said, why do you guys suck on third down? Or however you worded it.
Yeah.
That was the one he chose to answer.
I said, in your two losses, the offense has been inefficient on third down, to say the least. What do you attribute that? And he gave an answer. And then Jackie asked a follow-up about the same thing, and he gave more. So you have two lengthy quotes on this subject.
Good job, guys. Thank you.
And you didn't end with a preposition on the question. Which
correct.
Is good. Yeah, that's good. What else?
I don't get it. What is that in reference to?
How he worded the question.
Proper English. You shouldn't end a sentence with a preposition.
But who are we?
Just add mullet head at the end, and it's not a preposition. What do you attribute that to? mullet head.
Right. Yeah, there you go. That would work.
Or just, never end the question like Bilo.
Just talk right. Babble. Keep talking.
Yeah, seven parts of speech, right? He's got a 1 in 7 shot.
Eric, you were at practice.
Yep.
How does On the Mandola look?
They only let us watch stretching for 2 days in a row.
How did he stretch?
He stretched with the best of them, Fred.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did he really stretch his
good.
Brain out?
I don't know. I don't know. He didn't take his helmet off to do it, so kind of hard to stretch when you got a helmet on.
And
Kelly
and was out there.
Kelly and Washington are the only two absentees.
Right. Talib was out there. What did he look like?
Just like Amendola, stretching.
Right.
That's it.
No, was
that's
there a
it.
Discernible gait?
No, he was doing everything.
Don't you always have a gait? Isn't that the way you walk?
Yeah, you always have a gait, but was this one different then?
No. No, he's... They both look exactly the same. Amendola, I think, still has some pain or discomfort from that, the groin or groins, whichever, if that report is true, injury or injuries, because he still seems to, labor to move that right leg every time he walks.
There's nothing attached if the reports are right.
I know. But so that's kind of become his normal gait now. Which is a little weird because it's clearly not normal.
Brady's hand, was he flexing it?
I don't know where people are getting this thing with the hand. I really don't.
He was flexing it during the game.
Yeah. I know, but it's not like he's wearing a cast or doing anything. I mean, he threw the football.
Okay.
I mean, he was doing everything.
All right.
Not well.
Well, but he wasn't doing it well before he hit his hand.
This was his worst, I think.
11 for 21 in the second, and 11 for 28 in the second half. Right?
Yeah,
He's had a lot of bad ones.
I just saw throws that a guy was open and the ball was 5 yards from him.
Mm.
Like the one hander to Gronk.
All right.
Could have been a game-winning
touchdown. Talk about just to kind of close out the Pushgate story. the kind of back and forth between Belichick's quote of saying, right. I don't know why they would do that. They were doing it too.
Right.
And then Rex Ryan firing back with he needs to get his story straight and basically,
right.
you know, was it the second level? Did you not understand it or were we doing it too? So.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Which
was good, by the way.
Which was it? All right.
I should also say at the very end, Logan Ryan
grabbed his crotch.
Oh, he did talk?
He did very briefly and apologized to the fans and to, you know, the organization.
$10,000 fine.
Yeah.
For his actions.
And stupid.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't, you know how sometimes, like, Stevie Johnson got in trouble for grabbing the gun and shooting it or what? Like, that's kind of funny. There's, like, what is grabbing your crotch other than trying to ignite some, like.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it is. It's just classless. Terrible, not funny, wow. not entertaining.
Fred says it was terrible.
And from a guy who seems very, like, a good guy.
It seemed out of character.
Yeah.
Like Stevie Johnson's it was outrageous.
Look, I don't think that I don't like the way NFL curbs touchdown celebrations, but when you do something like that, you give me an excuse not to watch your celebration. You know, do something clever.
Right, and funny and cool and dance and don't grab your crotch.
Right.
But to Paul's point, it does seem very out of character. The times that we've talked to him this year, he seems, you know, very polite,
and
very
I don't
nice,
pretend
very,
to know him well.
No,
but when
but
I
it
have,
doesn't seem like that's the kind of thing that he would do.
He
didn't
maybe
give
he just
any
had to
story.
Go to the bathroom.
Yeah, he didn't give any.
That's
story,
what I was looking
any,
for
anything.
Originally.
I was sort of in the back, so all I heard initially was the apology. I didn't hear.
You get those pants. It's hard to go.
He was.
No, it isn't. It's very easy. You just piss yourself.
Andy's done it a million times.
Yeah.
He was very light
classy,
talking, very low talking. So
it almost
kind of
like to me was so
was...
weird. Like a friend dared him to do it, and he's in New Jersey, and like somebody at Rutgers dared him to do it, or like there's some story that would cause you to just randomly turn backwards and grab your crotch.
Maybe it was a shout out to men's health problems. It was like, you know, one of those things. Like
Fred, just stop.
Huh?
Maybe he was. You know, during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, maybe he was saying, why isn't there any nut cancer awareness right here?
We should wear brown for, like, prostate cancer or something?
Genital awareness.
Blue for balls.
Oh. Yeah.
Blue for balls.
You're my boy, Blue.
See, that's your one today that got me. You get me once a show.
Mike from Qatar says, thank you for the great coverage on the Patriots. You were the best at keeping me updated on what's going on at Foxborough. The O-line hasn't looked good this season, and it seems to snowball to Brady being off and the running game struggling.
Yep.
The center, Wendell, has been bad in a lot of games. Do you think the Patriots will look for a replacement for him?
Has he been the only one who's been bad?
Yeah, it hasn't.
Is he the only reason?
Has not just been him.
I think it's been around, you know, throughout the line.
I mean, we've talked about maybe moving Connolly in and bringing in either Svitek or Cannon, but the whole line needs to play better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
What the hell is that thing?
It's a calzone.
Michelle from Stockholm. She likes it when I call her Charlotta.
I like it when you call me Charlotta.
Did you guys read the article on the site that shouldn't be named, NFL.com? Check. Anyway, it was about Hakeem Nicks, Coughlin calling him out and saying he's been dropping a lot of balls.
He was terrible on Monday night.
That doesn't
he had
sound
a lot
so good
drops.
For all people who want him. We don't want to add another drops and... I'm more interested in if you think the Patriots are interested in Ratliff. I hear this team's interested, although not
absolutely.
Naming the Patriots specifically. And just as I'm done typing this, Fred got back, 38-17 Patriots.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I would take a talented defensive tackle who's been deemed healthy in a heartbeat.
You really think he's healthy?
Well, his doctor said he's healthy. I just go by the doctors. When he's cleared to play, he's cleared to play.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's picks, and I probably won again this week. No? Okay.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center,
located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit verizon.com/amazon for details.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Did you listen? I have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Matt, what's your lovely wife's name? I forget. Oh. Huh.
Tammy.
Matt and Tammy provided lunch today. Thank you so much. Anytime you want to come from Indiana and buy us lunch, you're welcome.
Or if you want to stay in Indiana.
But thank you very much. It's good to have you here. I hope you have a good game. I hope the Patriots win it for you. All right, it's time to do the picks, Paul. I don't want to interrupt your calzone eating, but it is time to do the picks.
Yeah, we kind of
have to hurry. 141.
A little bit of order has been restored.
Oh, boy. That means that Paul won.
Yes.
Yes.
10-5. I set the pace this week. Fred.
And kept the book this week.
Fred, you kept it up. 9-6. Nothing to be embarrassed about, only finishing a game behind me. Nothing to sneeze at.
Oh, boy.
Andy and Eric, 7-8.
Nah.
Whoa. I don't know what you're woeing. I'm having a terrible year.
Straight up, you got to really try to be under 500.
I am the Jacksonville Jaguars of picks.
With the spread, I won that as well at 9-6.
No, I'm the Giants of picks. I'm usually good. But
Eric went 7-8 with the spread. Fred and Andy went 6-9 with the spread.
Okay.
First sub-500 week for Fred against the number for quite a while, I think.
Yeah.
Or significantly under 500 anyway. But he maintains his lead in both categories, 69-38. I am 68-39. Eric is 65-42. Andy is 63-44. With the spread, Fred again, 56-46-5. Eric, 50-52-5. Paul, 48-54-5. And Andy, 47-55-5.
So
there you have it.
It's very interesting because the game tonight is Carolina at Tampa Bay, and on NFL.com, the headline is a big picture of Schiano. The headline, sinking ship. That is something for a league run website to have that about one of their teams, and I gotta commend NFL.com for doing that.
Is it a columnist though? Like, is it a column or is it just a news story?
It just says Greg Schiano was losing the 0-6 Buccaneers locker room with his autocratic style. Oh, says Michael Silver.
Okay, so it's,
but he works for NFL.
Well, right? Yeah, but it's commentary.
Yeah.
So,
but you know,
I agree with you. I think that's a good move for NFL.com.
Yep.
If you want to be out there and try to get some exposure, you have to do it the right way.
All right, so tonight, Thursday, 8:25, will you be watching that or the Red Sox?
Red Sox.
Okay.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because I know that last Minnesota, that terrible game, Minnesota and the Giants, got a better rating than last night's Red Sox game nationally.
Really?
Yeah. So
I'm not overly surprised by that nationally.
I'm not either.
No. Monday Night Football game against a World Series game, I would think that Monday Night Football. I mean, in the towns that were involved, I would think it wasn't even
right.
Close.
I would hope. Anyway, so what was the number, Paul?
Carolina is favored by 6.
Carolina by 6, Andy.
Obviously, we all know Carolina has a very good defense, and I think that gets it done.
I know, right?
And I just think Carolina is the better team. I forgot the exact number they're going for. They haven't been over 500 in like 35 games. It's the longest streak in the NFL or something, but they'll get there. 3-3 Panthers move up to 4-3.
I agree. I think they will blow out the Tampa Bay Bucks, as they have a couple of times to other opponents this season. So they will win and cover very easily.
The Panthers are my sleeper pick. I'm going to stick with them. I think they finally have something going after a rocky start, and I think that they take advantage of a sinking ship?
Sinking ship. I go with the Panthers as well. If you're the owner, the Glazers of the Buccaneers, and let's say you finish 1-15 or whatever – do you say, oh, great, now we can get Schiano some high draft picks and we'll keep him? Or do you say, no, we're not going to waste those picks on him. We're getting a new coach.
No, I have to get a new coach.
Yeah, give the new coach.
And I know it's only been 2 years, and I know that's a quick trigger and all that, but there have been enough things to me that are fireable about what's gone on with him. I would get rid of him sooner rather than later before he ends up giving somebody. I mean, we hope that
before
he stays.
Before the trade deadline, do you want to?
We
get
hope
rid of
that
him?
He stays, but he's liable to get rid of some of their assets now because he's just made some foolish moves and alienated so many people in that locker room.
Quick headline question.
Yeah. Writing.
Was that SCH ship? That's what I would have done. Sinking ship with SCH, like he's the ship that's sinking it all. Yeah, Schiano.
Yeah, I got
ship.
You.
Dallas at Detroit Sunday
at 1.
Those
were fire, by the way, Fred.
What's that?
Those are very hot today.
They're good. Dallas at Detroit.
I like your new diet where you only eat half the food that comes your way. Really benefits
me. Then you
me.
Eat the other half.
Detroit by 3.
Hasn't he always had that diet?
But no.
But you throw it away. Now he's better. Now he really walks away from like a half a pizza. He's like, Ian, do you want it? And I say no, and then he slides it across and I eat it. who they playing?
Dallas, Detroit. Dallas, Detroit, Detroit by 3.
Detroit by 3.
Yeah, a little surprising there, huh?
I'm taking Dallas for the upset. Even though the Detroit Lions are pretty highly ranked in the Wilson-Hart Power Index, I think Dallas is going to score some points in this game. So I am going Dallas with the upset.
Paul, this is a game where we're going to get screwed. You know why? Because we're going against Detroit, and this is a game that they're probably going to win, but I'll take the Cowboys because I think they're the better team.
Yeah, I think Detroit's a better team, and I'm taking the Lions at home. I think that they will win the game, and Cowboys won last week. We know what happens with them. They're 500 since when?
See, I think
2009.
Both
like
teams are
whatever.
The teams that screw you. You think they,
they are. But two unreliable teams. But I think the Lions are much better.
I'm going to go with Detroit as well. I'm with Paul.
Yes.
San Francisco.
Keep saying yes as you're residing in the basement.
I know. How's that working for you?
You don't ever want to be different from Fred. He's killing us all.
San Francisco at Jacksonville. This should be an easy one.
This one's where?
In Jacksonville?
No,
I believe it's in London, isn't it?
Oh, that's right.
It is in London.
I was waiting for you.
In London. Good day, mate. Governor.
Jordan Todd.
Not in Australia. It's in London.
Governor. Governor.
San Francisco by 16.5.
I'll take San Francisco to win and cover because Jacksonville stinks, although I'll be rooting for the Jordan Todman cover with a couple touchdowns.
Yeah.
I don't even think he plays anymore.
Long trip for San Francisco, but they will get it done. Win and cover pretty easily against this terrible home team.
How far is that trip? 6,000? No.
Yeah, probably about that.
Yeah, and they went somewhere last week, Tennessee. And they went from Tennessee to
London. Oh, it only makes sense.
Oh, so then that's perfect.
They cut it in half for them.
Yeah, and they're already adjusted. So, yeah. Oh, they're going to roll.
Yeah. I mean, Tennessee, London, the same size.
I will take San Francisco, but I'll take the points. That's a lot of points.
What's the number again?
16.5.
Yeah, me too. I'm with Paul. Cleveland. At Kansas City.
Kansas City by 8.
Who's playing quarterback for Cleveland these days?
Not Jeff Garcia, despite
Campbell.
His
Jason Campbell. That's right. I saw it was added to that jersey. I told you guys about that list. Every quarterback, and it's like this whole train that hangs down your ass. I am going to take these defense. Jason Campbell blows. He was never good. And Justin Houston in that defense is going to eat him alive.
Yeah. Chiefs are the only undefeated team? Right
indeed.
Now? Wow. Who'd have thunk? They will continue to be so, though.
Some of us
because
to go to the playoffs.
Well, the playoffs is one thing, but to be undefeated, the only undefeated team left in the NFL?
I actually said that. You weren't listening. But
No. You must have said it really low. I'll take the Chiefs to win and cover, Paul.
I will take the Chiefs as well, but I will take the points.
I'm going to take the Chiefs both ways. Somebody tallied up the records of the teams that the Chiefs and the Broncos are playing. It's like 2 and 3,000. So
now we have to start ripping the teams that go undefeated halfway through the year.
That's right.
You've become the Dolphins.
Buffalo at New Orleans.
No one's talking about the Chiefs going 16-0, though.
Buffalo at New Orleans.
I think it's Alex Smith.
Sunday at 1.
Saints by 11.5.
Who are they playing?
Buffalo.
I'll take the Saints to win and cover. I don't like Buffalo. Now there's some like infighting I was kind of reading about going on where, Marone said something about Spiller, and Spiller said, well, in all due respect, even though he didn't really mean it with respect, I know my body better than him, and they're kind of jawing in the media.
Oh, boy.
Doug Marone was a Marone.
What a Marone.
I'll take the Peyton-led Saints to win and cover.
Yeah, Saints at home. I will take that win and cover number.
Who dat? Or who day?
I will take the Saints as well, and I'll lay the points in this one. Another double-digit favorite, but I'll lay the points.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Saints as well both ways. Giants at Philadelphia, our last Sunday at 1 because we skipped over
Miami,
New England.
Philadelphia by 5.5.
Giants at Philadelphia. Giants got to win.
Yeah.
Can they get 2? I say they do. I'll take the Giants.
I say they don't. This game's in Philly,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
I'll take Chip Kelly's team. What's the number again, Paul?
5.5.
Yeah, they'll cover by 7.
7.
I am going to go with Andy and lose another game with the Giants, but I just think they're better than the Eagles.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed by the Giants' win.
I wasn't either.
I'm going to go with Philadelphia. They're at home both ways. Sunday, 4:05, the New Jersey Jets at the Cincinnati Bengals.
Bengals by 6.5.
This one's a push.
Interesting matchup of the Patriots' last couple opponents here that have really kicked their ass. Now doing battle, a couple physical lines. I'm gonna go with the Bengals. Matchup of two quarterbacks I don't totally trust. I'm gonna take the elder statesman that I don't really trust, and I don't trust the Jets to go on like a winning streak here and play.
No,
you know, I don't trust them, so I'm just gonna go Cincinnati.
Yeah, and I like the Cincy's defense against Geno Smith. I'll take the home team to win and cover.
I will take the Bengals as well. Just not a believer in the Jets, and they haven't won 2 in a row in a long time,
yeah,
and I don't think they'll do it this week.
I'm going to tip off the refs before the game about the Jets. They suck. Pittsburgh at Oakland.
Pittsburgh by 2.5.
Pittsburgh at Oakland. I'm going to take Pittsburgh. I think they are starting to turn things around a little bit for them.
Just in time.
Yeah. And I just can't pick Oakland. I hate Oakland.
Yeah. Oakland and Jacksonville, you can't pick them, no matter who they're playing. But they played each other earlier.
Which made it tough.
Yeah. I will take the Steelers on the road to win and cover, Paul.
Yeah, I will take the Steelers as well, although this is they don't play well out there. They lose to Oakland a lot in Oakland, and I'm not as convinced about this win as you guys. But
yeah,
I'm going to take them.
I tend to agree with you, Paul. I'm going to go with Oakland just for the hell of it.
That's why he's winning.
Atlanta.
Just for the hell of it.
At Arizona. Sunday, 4:25. Atlanta at Arizona.
Arizona by 2.5.
This is a tough one.
How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
Underdogs to the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
Preseason Super Bowl contender.
Yeah. I'm just.
Did you guys get cookies?
Two bad teams. Paul Perillo told me to take the home team, so I'm taking the Arizona Cardinals.
I'm really torn about this game, and I'll probably lose it, but I will take the Falcons on the road. I don't know why I'm doing this. They're going to lose this game. What was the number?
2.5 you're getting.
Yeah, I'll take the Falcons.
Yeah, I'm going to take the points, too. I think Andy's right. His theory is right. Two bad teams. You take the home team, but I'm going to vary from that.
Plus, I'm not really
take the
afraid
Falcons because I think they're better
of the Falcons' defense with Carson Palmer. That's the one thing I hate because Carson Palmer to me is three turnovers anytime he.
Well, and Samuel.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
See you. Bye.
Could be. I might be regretting that. I'll probably flick through, and as usual, Samuel will be running down the sidelines with a touchdown.
Yeah,
like
Atlanta
I always
doesn't
see.
Have the weapons to do much on offense. I'll say that. I don't know how they put 30 whatever on the board last week with all those guys out.
But God forbid they trade Tony Gonzalez.
Okay.
I took Atlanta. What do you got?
I'm taking Arizona. Washington at Denver, 4:25. Washington at Denver.
Denver by 13.
I'll take Denver to win and cover, assuming Peyton Manning is literally not really hurt, just kind of a
well, he was
off.
Supposed to return to practice today.
Yeah, he didn't look very good the other night. He
no.
did not look good at all. I don't know if it was Fred's theory that it was in his head.
You know, the whole blueprint thing.
Loves
you know,
Indianapolis and he couldn't beat him or whatever the
you
hell.
You get that amount of pressure on a quarterback, he's going to be affected.
But he was not right. He didn't look right from, Fred, you're right, from the get-go. It just didn't look right.
Right.
And when the penis doesn't look right, they don't play well.
Oh, boy.
But I think the penis will look right this week, so I'm going to go with the Broncos to win and cover.
I don't know what what his physical ailments have to do with picking a game for the Broncos, Paul.
Most men have only seen their own penis, but that cannot be said of Andy.
Fred.
Nope. Well, that's a good point.
Yes! Yes!
I think the Broncos, Manning will play. I think they'll bounce back. They're at home. They'll win and cover against a Washington team that's not nearly as good as I think a lot of people thought going into this
year. Keep an eye on that Broncos offense, though, Freddie. I know they're still scoring points, but it definitely has been more of a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But I will lay I'll lay the points at Denver. I'll say Denver bounces back.
Yeah, I think so, too. Washington's defense is not good. So Denver both ways. Sunday night, 8:30, Green Bay at Minnesota.
They can't give us enough of the divisional battles for the Sunday night games, can they? I hate those. Green Bay by 9.5.
Just quick side note. Somebody sent me a story. How do you say it?
Seeliga?
Seeliga is from Samoa. He actually lost 8 family members in a tsunami there in 2009.
Wow.
When he was at Utah. So he is American Samoa.
Wow.
Because the 8.0 earthquake.
I don't even have 8 family members.
How can you make a joke about he's talking about the guy losing?
Really, it's unbelievable. To me. I thought that was second most inappropriate guy on the show, Sandy. just found out the guy lost 8 family members in a tsunami, and you make a joke.
I don't even have them to lose.
Well, you know how those Samoans are.
I don't know.
I feel like that's one of the things that just it leads to something.
It's not okay.
Who are they playing, and who's the game? And
Green Bay at Minnesota.
Green Bay, Minnesota.
I will take Green Bay. Who's playing quarterback for them?
Ponder,
yeah. I don't like Ponder. I don't like Freeman either. And AD not exactly getting it done. So pretty hard to pick the Vikings right now without an offense. Mm. So I will go with the Pack.
Yeah,
I'll
have to agree. Pack are the better team. And yeah, he's doing that for sure.
John Rook just shook a soda in the air.
What did he do?
John Rook just had a soda explode in there. Worry, John. That happens to everyone.
You took Green Bay. Oh, it doesn't happen to everybody. You took Green Bay?
I did.
Okay.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
I will do the same.
And then that happens.
I'll take Green Bay as well.
And I will, too.
Okay.
Evidently, we're going out of order now.
All on the practice. Monday night, 8:40, Seattle at St. Louis.
Seattle by 11.
No Bradford.
No Bradford. No Favre. Big problem. I'm going to take Seattle to win and cover.
No Favre?
They called Favre to see if he would be willing to.
Did they really?
Well, I don't know. That's the report. I don't know if they really
did. Oh, my God. I'm surprised he didn't say yes.
My Seattle concerns on what is the spread? Seattle by
11
what?
And a hay.
I'll take 11? The points.
11.
Sorry. I didn't mean to. But Seattle's road struggles, that's a good defense that I think will keep it. You know, you might have a turnover.
Yep. Winning!
Yep. Yeah.
Where's he been? He had a good start to the year. Is he still doing?
No.
I definitely like Seattle to win, but I think they could. I think they win by 10, Paul. So I'll take the points, please.
Funny, if these Patriots had drafted Quinn when I told them to, they'd have the best defensive end in football.
Yes.
If they had drafted Terrence Williams when I told them to, they'd have a rookie receiver who is now making plays and has touchdown 3 straight games. But they don't listen to Andy.
Where would they be if they had drafted Mendenhall?
And, you know, you win some, you lose some. Bill loses more than I do, but.
I'll take Seattle and I'll lay the points.
Yeah, me too.
And by the way, with this offense, with Brady, Mendenhall would have been ridiculous.
Okay. Let's go back to Sunday at 1. Back.
Oh, okay, back.
We'll hit our
and
mic,
Miami at New England. Paul, what's the spread?
He just put a full-size cookie in his mouth.
6.
That's 7. How did you see 6 when he's holding up 7?
I didn't see the thumb.
You would be a terrible play caller. 50, cover 2. He said cover 3.
Yeah, but you go like this for 2?
No, that's fire.
Right. That's what he went. He went like this.
Was it tough? Right, right. Was
two,
fire,
two
B, and go A?
Sign.
We had a lightning.
You don't use the thumb 50. For 2.
How many is this?
5.
Why do you count the thumb there and not here?
Because that's the way it
end
works.
End of story.
That's
you lose.
That's the way it works. You use the thumb as a last resort.
I think Paul's going to have a heart attack. This could be the big one. He's turning bright red.
Oh, boy.
I never really thought of it that way, but okay.
Miami at New England.
I will go with the New England Patriots. I think they have the better quarterback and the better coach. And I don't know if you saw Fred Tannehill listed with a right shoulder injury.
Added after the fact.
Yeah, that could be an issue. Maybe you heard it on the conference call or something.
When he tried to answer the phone.
My shoulder. But I think Gronk's going to be better. I think Gronk is good enough in this game where if you get a little Amendola, you get a little Edelman, you get a little Ridley, you can score some points. Broncos are a team that have given up more points than they've scored.
Broncos?
I mean, Dolphins are a team that have given up more points than they've scored. And I think we've done a pretty good job with Cameron Wake over the years. So even though the offensive line has been sketchy, I'm not really scared that he's going to ruin the game. I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think we're going to continue to be in dogfight city. So I'm going to take the Patriots to win and barely cover.
Oh.
I think we're going to look at something, you know, 23-15, whatever I need to get, you know, 24-16.
8 point.
Basically, around an 8 point win.
One score game.
Yeah. You're going to be on the edge of your seat.
Okay.
And we'll tell you the whole thing.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Sunday.
Yeah, so I know where you were
just
going.
Just remember, the thumb is the last resort.
I think the Patriots will win this game easier than Andy thinks.
Well, you're a homer.
Yeah, I know. I've always been accused of that.
That's homer.
They'll get a touchdown in every quarter, and they'll surrender a field goal in every quarter. 28-12, Patriots win and cover.
I like it. Like it.
Zero chance of him being right on that. I mean, what are the chances that he's exactly right? Four touchdowns.
I am leaning.
As long as it comes out 28-12, it doesn't matter.
I'm leaning more toward Andy. I think I'm going to pick the Patriots to cover. I actually think it's going to be a push, but I'm going to, you know, as long as it's that close, I'll take the Patriots to cover.
Week. Yeah. I already used that joke.
27-20. I think this is going to be a very tight game, and I'm going to say this again: if the Dolphins don't turn the ball over, I think the Patriots are in trouble. Now, I think the Dolphins are going to turn the ball over, and that's going to be the difference. But the Patriots, 27-20.
I think Patriots both ways. I'm more leaning toward what Eric is saying. I don't think this is going to be a nail-biter in the fourth quarter. I think the Patriots will have this game in hand. Mm. So
it was the first time for everything.
We'll be back, guys. We're back. Next week, Pittsburgh.
You don't have the emotion.
Two in a row. Take a bye.
The old Fred Kerr didn't say we're back. The old
back.
Fred Kerr said we're raping, we're pillaging, we're taking you. Just hand us the damn trophy.
We're still on track for 12 and 4. Still on track for 12-4. All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. John Rook is next with the playbook. And then Football Nation at 4 o'clock. We'll see you next Tuesday.
You got to thank our guests.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
Matt and Tammy.
And,
from Indiana.
Good luck in the half marathon.
All right.
Thank you.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.